Welcome back, listeners.
Hello, Robert.
Hi, Robert. That's right. And Carrie's family.
And my family. Welcome.
Whatever internet stalkers I may have.
Right.
They vary from week to week.
That's true.
Yeah.
So, we're actually, like, site that we post these on,
right,
called Podomatic.
Right.
They send me emails of, like, this is where you are this week. And, like, whatever. So, and then I like, tell you, like, how many downloads and plays we're getting, and I don't know how accurate it is, but it's, like, 50.
Oh.
Like.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, hi, everybody.
I think people are, like, actually listening to us, so.
That's crazy.
Hi. Or it's screwed up and no one is listening.
I don't think so, because they're careful about those metrics when they program
them. Right. So
right.
It's, like.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And,
good job, team.
Yay.
Hey. That's awesome.
Okay, so. Welcome to. I don't remember what podcast. 10?
Or I think 12 now.
Wow. I don't know.
Okay, well some double digit
number. We're gonna talk about Harry Potter,
yep,
and the Half-Blood Prince.
That is right. That is the book we are on this
week.
The sixth book in the series. We didn't come up with a clever title before we started recording.
No. So we'll come up with one in the middle, and then I'll probably forget what it is, and we'll remake one when we post it, because that's what we do.
That's true.
So,
I mean, Harry Potter, I got nothing. All right, continue.
Okay, we'll just, chapter one.
Chapter one.
Prologue.
Prologue.
Well, right, but it's chapter one.
No, there's a prologue and then a chapter one.
What?
Here, check the book.
I'm checking the book on you. You're totally.
This is
right,
we are working with the book this week because when
boom,
Carrie was right. Point to Carrie. Okay, we're going to keep track of points for every point. Everybody else can take a drink of their butterbeer.
Yes,
or take a bite of Weasley's Wizarding Wheezes, which we made tonight, you guys. We made
fever fudge.
Right, so you eat the red end and it gives you a fever, and then you can leave class and you're skiving off class.
Yeah.
The idea.
Yep.
And then once you are in the hospital wing and, like, safely dismissed from class, you eat the blue end and it reduces your fever. And then you can go about enjoying your day unencumbered by the load of coursework that you should have had. And we found a recipe for this that has cinnamon and cayenne and vanilla. And so that's currently cooling in the fridge.
I'm super excited for it.
It's really going to be awesome.
Yeah. Some of you listeners will be eating
right.
it later
yes.
because... There's a lot of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, prologue. Begins in, for the first time, well, no, I guess, well, for the first time it begins
well,
centered around, nope, still
sorry.
Wrong, still wrong.
I think I mind melded
so
with you, and
here,
yeah, you're.
Here was where I was going. Let's see. I was going to say, for the first time we begin in the Muggle world, or no, for the first time we begin in the Muggle world, and I was
yep.
like, no, we
no,
always
we
begin
always
in the Muggle world, because that's where Harry is. And then I was like, well, okay, this is the first time we center around a Muggle. Also incorrect, because
right,
we center around a Muggle in book four.
Frank. So.
So we just mind melded twice. That
yeah. Okay, so we begin with someone we have never
met
before
no.
in the series.
Nor even heard of.
Nor even heard of. Never even thought about, personally,
no.
when I was reading it. Like, I was like, whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
I think I skipped this chapter the first time I read it. I was like, this is boring.
Ugh. It kind of is. Although, I thought it kind of interesting.
It's edifying.
It's a good chapter one.
Right.
You know?
It's a good way of doing a summary of books 1 through 5 without doing a summary of books 1 through 5.
Right.
So who is this person that we are meeting? Because we don't meet this person in the films. Robert, are you ready? We meet the Prime Minister of England. I know, right?
Yeah.
So,
like, the real
so
Prime
exciting.
Minister. Like, Muggle Prime Minister.
Right.
Yeah.
And I was like, ugh, boring. Skip.
Yeah, and I was like, ooh, how is this going to intertwine?
Because
I'm a nerd. Because, yeah, anyway, so we start off with the minister, and he's had a terrible week.
Awful.
Just awful week. There was a freaking earthquake going on.
There's a bridge collapse.
Yep. There's been murders.
A hurricane off the coast.
Yep. So, like, big things are happening.
Yeah, and
two murders. To put on top of that,
right,
which we have to talk about the murders, because I forgot who they were, and it made me sad.
I know.
On top of all that, it is also election season.
Right.
So the, like, opposing person to the Prime Minister,
yeah.
is, like, saying that this is all his fault, all of these, like, like the hurricane and the bridge collapse and everything, and he's like, it is not my fault.
Right. He's like, I didn't cause a hurricane or murders.
So,
or,
I don't know.
And I don't know why the bridge collapsed, because it was in, like, perfect working condition.
Right. So, English Prime Minister freaking out in his office.
Right.
Just having a bad day.
Alone in his study. Pondering. Probably having a finger of scotch, because that's what you do.
Right. Probably two at this point.
Yeah, I think so.
Indulge, sir. And so, he's doing this, and then a portrait on his wall
gives a small cough.
Gives a small cough. Yep. And immediately the Prime Minister tenses up and it's like, uh-oh.
Oh,
not like,
this again.
Not this again, yep. But hopefully, like, maybe, I'm just imagining things.
Right.
Whatever. But he isn't.
Nope.
And the portrait says, Minister
for Magic will be requesting a meeting with you immediately. Kindly respond.
Oh, and the Prime Minister, he's there so late because he's waiting for a phone call from, like, another...
I think it's the president of Burundi or something like that.
I thought it just said, like, a president
from
of, like,
a faraway country. Yeah.
Which I realized by, like, I don't know when this came out, but, like, my, like, 15-year-old arrogance, because I was... took it for granted that he was calling America.
Of course.
And I read it this time, and I was like, there's no mention that he's calling America.
Well, but
like,
it makes sense that he'd be calling America, because it would be very late in Britain when it would be normal hours for us to call in America.
That's true.
And you know the Americans would not care that they're 6 hours ahead of us in Britain. They'd be like, yeah, we're calling you at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. That sound good? Oh, it's your 10 o'clock? We don't care.
That's very true. So the Prime Minister is calling...
Right. No, someone
George
from afar
Bush.
Off. Yeah, George Bush. I don't know, who was George Bush the first? Who was in office at the time of the Second War? Second War is 97?
98. So
it
would have been...
Clinton, isn't
Clinton.
It?
Clinton. So he's calling President Clinton. And it's like looking for advice.
Right. Probably on how to handle...
Which kind of makes sense,
that's
actually.
True. That makes a lot of sense.
So the Prime Minister of England is calling Bill Clinton to figure out how to handle a scandal.
Right.
Handle a scandal. That was bad.
Bill Clinton handled a scandal. That was the problem.
Right. Yeah.
Clinton jokes. Finally, I'm old enough to make them.
Yay. So he's waiting for that phone call.
Right.
And then he gets this message, and he's like, I can't meet with the Prime Minister, or with the Ministry of Magic, because I'm going to call Bill Clinton.
Right.
And the portrait, I believe...
Yeah.
Says, we've arranged it so that, like, he forgets that you're calling and he'll call you tomorrow with his, like, deepest apologies or something.
Right.
And the Prime Minister of England is like, damn it, I thought I would get out of this one.
So he says something along the lines of, yeah, sure, fine. Yeah. And then we get the snazzy backstory of this Prime Minister and his dealings with the Minister of Magic.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly that, like, what is it, like, 16 years ago, he's, like, gloating in his office because he's won the election, and he's like, ma-ha-ha, I'm great.
Yeah.
And then a portrait in his office coughs, and he's like, and I've lost it. But no, it turns out that the portrait has always been there, and it's of this, like, it's this dirty little portrait of this man in a wig, like, working on a table with a quill. And, and then announces the coming of the Minister of Magic, and the Prime Minister's like, I have lost my mind. And then a man appears in his fireplace, steps out of his fireplace, and introduces himself, and is like, hi, I'm the Minister for Magic. There are wizards. Don't tell anybody, and you probably won't see me again. Bye.
Yeah. And then, like, and the Prime Minister's like, and then he's like, there's no way that you're actually, like there's no way that this is true. Like, this is some sort of hoax that the opposition has put on me. And so Cornelius Fudge, the minister at the time, like, changes his teacup into a gerbil or something.
Yes, correct.
And
one of his favorite teacups, I do believe.
Probably. And, like, proves that magic exists, basically.
Right.
And the Prime Minister's like, and Fudge is like, yeah. You probably won't see me again. And the English Prime Minister says, well, like, why did no one tell me about this?
Mm-hmm.
And Fudge is like, are you going to tell anyone about this?
Because
no one's going to
believe. He says that. I forgot about that.
Yeah. And then the Prime Minister's like, damn it. And then he leaves. And I believe the Prime Minister tries to get rid of the painting.
He does.
And can't.
And, like, carpenters come. Like, I think they have, like, engineers try to drill it out of the wall. And they just can't get it out.
Yeah. So then, but Fudge is like, you probably won't see me again, though, only in, like, severe cases.
Yeah, exactly.
So then. the first time he comes back is for Sirius Black.
Right.
He's like, hey, so.
No. Oh, yes, you're right. Sorry. Continue.
So Fudge makes a meeting, like, the same thing or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And is like, hey, Prime Minister, we have a mass murderer on the loose who likes to kill muggles. Right. So, just probably.
Here's his picture. You know, just tell muggles that he's insane.
Yeah.
Don't mention the magic.
And I really enjoy this part of the book because, like, it's Sirius Black. Mm-hmm. But the Prime Minister, like, whenever he talks about it, it's spelled S-E-R-I-O-U-S.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't
read. And I'm like, that's so glorious. Good. Anyway.
That's great. Good job.
Right?
J.K. Rowling.
So, it's so clever.
And so then, right, then so Sirius Black disappears, and then Fudge comes back about, like, a year and a little more later, and it's like, hey, just so you know, we're bringing 3 dragons and a sphinx into England for the Triwizard Tournament. And the Prime Minister's like, three what? And Fudge says, 3 dragons and a sphinx.
And a sphinx.
Okay.
And I think he also mentions quickly, like, by the way, there was some bad stuff that happened at the Quidditch World Cup, but we got it taken care of.
Right, yeah. Don't you worry.
Yeah.
It's all fine.
And the Prime Minister's like, I don't know what Quidditch is.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Yep.
Please leave. And then, yeah, then he reappears, what, 7-9 months later?
Yeah.
He's like, is that right? No, it can't be right because it's further along.
He would have appeared towards the...
You would have reappeared towards the end of book 5.
This has been at the beginning of book 4 and then at the end of book 5.
Right, okay. So, a year and a half later, this annoying Minister for Magic, or as the Prime Minister likes to think of him as, the other minister.
The other minister.
Reappears and is like, hey, so... Oh, no, wait, that's here. That's now. We're at the end of book 5.
Oh, right.
Right. Good job, team!
Yay!
Alright, so yeah, so now we are about a year and a half later, and
yep.
He's like, oh, what now? And so then Green Flame, so he's, suddenly Green Flames shoot from his fireplace, and he's still not gotten used to this over the many years, and, Cornelius Fudge walks out, and he's clearly in a somber mood. He appears to have been having as bad a week as the Prime Minister, yes. And is clearly quite sad about it, and just sort of introspective, and in Curvatus say, kind of, he's focused on himself, is where I was going with that.
Okay.
And, yeah.
I want to say there's one more visit.
I wonder.
Because I think there's one visit where he says, where he goes, Lord Voldemort, and there's another one where he goes, forward.
That's all in this one.
That's all in this
yeah.
one? Okay, then never mind.
Yeah, that all happens at once.
Oh, you're right.
It's a really long conversation.
It just takes a while. Yeah. Okay, sorry, continue.
So he's like, hey,
point to
Eddie. Thank you. Everybody take a drink of your Butterbeer. if you're keeping score, that's 1-1. So, yeah, so the Prime Minister tries to be pleasant, you know, like, because you're British. So, how have you been? And Fudge is like, oh, I've had just the most terrible week. And the Prime Minister says, yes, so have I. And sort of gives him this, like, I'm very busy and stressed. Get out of my office. And Fudge is like, yeah, I know you've had a bad week.
I have had the same week.
the murders and the hurricane and the bridge collapse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are all wizardy relating. And
yeah.
Then, of course, the poor Prime Minister, who's been blamed for all these by his smug opponent, is like, what do you mean the hurricane was caused by wizards? And he says, well, that wasn't a hurricane, it was giants.
Yeah.
And the Prime Minister says, oh, sure, of course it was.
Yeah.
Great. Giants.
Yep.
And the bridge collapse was not a bridge collapse. I mean, it wasn't a structure faulty thing.
Yeah.
It was done by, and then Fudge gets very uncomfortable and says, he who must not be named. And the Prime Minister's like, I'm sorry, excuse me, what? And so Fudge has to, I think Fudge writes it on
a piece of paper, yeah.
And passes it to him, and then the Prime Minister starts using it, because
yeah.
That's what you do with a name. And Fudge visibly twitches every time he says Voldemort. And, so yeah, basically Fudge just recounts that, Voldemort has now returned. They thought he was vanquished. Everybody was good. And then he has apparently returned and is, killing muggles.
Yep.
Meaning non-magic folk. And, so tore apart the bridge. Or no, so, I think he was there like a hostile situation or like it was a threat? Like, I'm going to destroy the bridge if you don't give in to my demands kind of thing?
Yes. He said he was going to destroy the bridge, or he said destroy the bridge or like he'll kill a bunch of muggle, I think children. Maybe right. not.
No, I think it was.
He's going to kill a bunch of people.
Yeah. Either way.
So, yeah. So they were like, well, go ahead and destroy the bridge then. And then the English Prime Minister was like, you seriously let him just blow up a bridge? And Fudge is like, well, what would you have done?
Yeah.
Like,
and the Prime Minister was like, I would have stood up to him. And you're like, oh, that's cute.
That's cute, but.
And,
do we have to talk about the two murders now?
I think we can just.
Okay, so there's two murders happened pretty close to the Prime Minister's house.
Right, which is why his opponent is like, look at that, in the Prime Minister's own backyard.
Yeah. So we come to learn that it is Emmeline Vance.
Correct.
And Amelia Bones.
Not Amelia Bones. Amelia Bones, who took Harry's side at the Wizengamot trial. Who is Susan Bones' auntie.
Susan Bones' aunt. And, like, a really good wizard.
Yeah,
witch.
A really strong witch.
Like,
yeah.
Strong, like, knows her stuff, smart.
Like, surprising that they were able to take her down.
Yeah, like, scary that they brought her down, because she's pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, both of them were witches, and they were both killed.
Yes.
By Lord Voldemort or his followers.
Yes.
And
then I think they start, because then doesn't the Prime Minister say something about, like, well, like, I would have been sacked for that or something? And then, how does,
I think it's,
how do we
I think
transition?
First, I don't remember. I know, I think he says, like, oh, because the Prime Minister's always trying to stay on top of things. Is has Sirius Black rejoined?
Oh, yeah.
And,
right.
And Cornelius Fudge is like, no, actually, he was innocent, and he's dead.
She was innocent the whole time, and he's dead now, so.
So thanks for reminding me of that.
Yeah.
And the Prime Minister's like, oh, okay. And, I think the Prime Minister says something along the lines of, like, well, do something, you're the Minister for Magic, you know, for goodness sake, like, you know, blah, blah, blah. And Cornelius Fudge says, my dear Prime Minister, surely you don't think I've kept
yes.
my job after all this. My last task has been to,
to come and catch
you up on things and then introduce you to the new Prime Minister, who should be along shortly.
Yeah. And then the portrait on the wall is like, actually, he's, like, coming down
or
whatever.
Right.
Oh,
no, what did we forget?
There's also a part, I don't know, oh, I think it's when he shows up, never mind.
Okay.
So, yeah, we'll just do that now. So,
yep.
So then the flames turn green again, and a man comes out of the fireplace that looks shockingly like a lion, kind of. He has a mane, like, they like to always describe his hair as, a, like, a mane.
I think the casting
with
in,
gray
the,
in, it.
In the sixth movie was very good.
Very good.
These are dark times, there is no denying.
Your ministry remains strong.
Right.
Oh. Camera flashes. And it is Rufus Scrimgeour, who was the head of the Auror office.
Correct.
Or the Dark Wizard Catchers.
Mm-hmm.
And so he becomes the new Prime Minister. And I believe he's the one that steps in and says, hey, I'm the new Prime Minister, we're gonna add some security to you.
Yes.
And then, the Prime Minister is like, says something about, well, don't take away.
I think it's like, we're gonna double check all of your.
Yeah, we're gonna double check all of your staff and, like, make sure everyone's okay, and then we're gonna add some of our own people to your.
Yep.
Entourage.
Right.
And the Prime Minister's like, well, don't get rid of Kingsley Shacklebolt, because he's amazing, and, like, talks about all the work he gets done. And Rufus Scrimgeour's like, yeah, he's a wizard. That's how he's getting all of his work done.
Oh.
And, like, very well. And the Prime Minister's like, well, good. Okay, then.
Fine. You can stay.
I love Kingsley.
As if we had a choice.
Right.
I don't remember what. I mean, the Prime Minister is, like, I can understand why they would have hired Rufus Scrimgeour. I had a dog named Rufus when I was growing up.
Really?
Yeah.
I currently have a dog at my parents named Brutus.
Oh, that's
but
a good dog.
But his second, like, I was debating between Brutus and Rufus. But he ended up being Brutus. Nice.
Yeah, first dog was named Buford, second dog was named Rufus.
Huh.
Yeah. Nice. I didn't name them. My dad picked the names. I think they're after, like, secondary presidents, or, like, some people would call those vice presidents. But,
right.
But, you know.
So, yeah, I really like the way that the meeting ends, but I don't remember what the middle is. So, is that...
I think it's mostly just, you know, so FYI, this is happening, and...
Yeah.
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 Just... And Scrimgeour is clearly not, like, it's not, he's not a sociable guy.
Right.
So he's...
Oh, and he, yeah. And he says that Fudge will continue to be, like, the liaison between the ministry and...
Right.
The prime minister.
And I think... Do they say something to each other about perhaps he'll have better luck convincing the boy.
Mm.
But I don't remember who's going.
I think Scrimgeour's going at this point.
Oh, is it Scrimgeour?
Because...
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Fudge does earlier in order to, like, save his job.
That's right. He says that to the portrait. So, at one point...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay, anyway.
So, anyway, this meeting happens. Are we just ending it now?
Yeah, we'll just...
Okay, so... I just really like the way that it ends.
Yes,
it's very good. The English Prime Minister is like... he's like, I don't understand why this is such a big deal. Like, this bad guy or whatever, because you guys have magic. Like, why can't you just take care of this? And Rufus Scrimgeour, in a total badass line, is like, yes, Prime Minister, but the other side has magic, too. And then, like, just leaves. And I'm like, that is a very good exit line. Like, kudos, Lion Sir.
Although this does open up an important plot hole that, like, maybe we could just nuke Voldemort. You know? Has anyone ever considered that? Has anyone ever tried just shooting him with a gun?
Emmy.
What?
First of all, I think shooting with a... He's going to have something... Some spell against shooting a gun.
He is not aware of... He is aware of the Muggle
world.
He
grew up in the Muggle world.
Okay,
and
fine.
And B, if we're talking, like, nuclear warfare, can you imagine, like, hey, everything's fine in England, but we're going to start just nuking places? Just don't worry about it. We don't have any reason to. It's not like people are going to, like, rise up in the streets or anything.
Good point. You can't really nuke England. England is small.
Yeah. Which I'm sure is what Bill Clinton would probably suggest.
True. He was probably like, just nuke him.
Just nuke him. It's fine. I'm kidding.
I think
actually,
that would have been
tactful than that. But.
Yeah. He would have just gone in there and negotiated.
Right.
Because that's what he does.
That's
George W.
Bill Clinton
senior
would have
or
sat
junior.
Voldemort down, and they would have come out, and Voldy would have been, like, in love with someone and, like,
exactly.
going to go vacation home in Bermuda.
Right. Just changed his ways. That man is a charmer.
No, he can talk his way out of anything.
It's true.
Or
do you remember when he went
anything?
To, like, North Korea and rescued those journalists?
Yeah.
Who goes into North Korea and rescues journalists?
Bill Clinton, that's who. I just want to, like, just want to see that man. Like,
I mean, he's kind of smarmy.
He's very smarmy, but he pulls it off.
Right. I mean, when you put your smarminess to effective political work, then it's kind of hard to be like, well, you're...
Right.
Fine. Save some more journalists. Fine. Okay, so good. We rounded that up.
Yeah.
Chapter two.
Harry.
Harry Potter.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Harry.
No.
I was going to say, there's something in between.
Because this
We're
is
not
just
to Harry
moved
yet.
To the movie, but it's in...
Yeah!
Yeah!
I love this part!
I hate this part!
This part is badass. Okay, then we are transported into like a dark night, and there's this fox playing by a river, and the fox is like, di-di-di-di-di, and then these two women appear out of nowhere. And then the fox is like, and runs, and one of the women kills the fox.
Just for funsies.
Yeah, with a green light, and then she's like, oh, just a fox, I thought it was an auror. And then she's like, sissy, wait up, as the other woman's, like, running away. And then they're like, she's like, no! And they both go to this, like, old house that's, like, broken down and stuff.
On Spinner's End.
And then it's, like, dark and gloomy, and they're, like, hooded figures, and they're like, meh. And they go there, and they knock on the door, and who answers? But one Mr. Severus Snape.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, really. So then.
It's fine. You tell the story. Because I detest all of this.
So Snape is like, oh, Narcissa Malfoy. So good to see you.
Whoa, too much emotion. Too much emotion for Snape.
He's pretty emotional with Narcissa.
Is he?
He's like all happy about Narcissa. All
right, fine.
And then, well, I exaggerated a little bit, but you kind of got to, because he's like, oh, there's this Malfoy, yay, come in. And then with Bellatrix is with him, and he's like, hey. And she's true. Like, Snape, and he's like, meh. And then she, like, walks in. So.
That's true.
They walk in, and, the whole time that they were running to Spinner's End, Bellatrix was like, hey, Narcissa, this is not a good idea. We should not be doing this. We should really rethink this. I don't think this is a really bad idea.
He's a terrible guy.
He's a terrible dude, and I don't think we should really trust him. And da 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 da. And then Narcissa's like, shut up. And we're going to do this anyway.
Yep. I think Narcissa's just like, I'm going.
Yeah, Narcissa's like, you don't have to come if you don't want to, but I'm going. Which is why I kind of like Narcissa.
Okay, fine.
I kind of like her.
Women drive the entire plotline of Harry Potter.
They do.
The entire plotline.
They're, yeah.
Women and Dumbledore. That's it.
Yeah.
And Hagrid.
Really? Well, I guess. Yeah.
Wait, who are we really in? I guess Hagrid just sort of, yeah, Hagrid just takes care of Harry.
Right. Hagrid's just kind of like a guardian, but yeah. he doesn't really add to the plot.
No. Yeah. I mean, he provides information to Harry Potter every once in a while, but really, it's women who drive the plot of Harry Potter.
So, Narcissa Malfoy, Bellatrix Lestrange, sisters, hanging out at Snape's place.
Cool.
Narcissa's like, hey, is there anyone else around? And Snape is like, well, Wormtail's here. And
I think he actually, like, shoots some sort of spell at the door, and you hear this squealing, and then the door flies open.
There's a door of books.
Yeah.
And it opens, and then Wormtail's there, and he's like, hey. And Snape is like, hey, you should go and get us some, like, wine or something to drink. And Wormtail is like, I'm not your servant. I'm not a house elf. And Snape is like, Voldemort told me, or the Dark Lord told me that you would be my assistant. So, and Wormtail's like, but I'm not doing that. And Snape's like, yeah, you are. And Wormtail's like, fine! And then goes and gets the wine, or like a dusty bottle of dark red wine.
Yeah, something.
And then, like, some glasses and sets them down. And then Snape's like, all right, get out of here. And
no wine for you.
Right. And then Wormtail, like, goes back into the door, and Snape closes it, and it just looks like bookshelves.
Mm-hmm.
And then Narcissa's like, and then they pour the drinks. Yeah. And Narcissa's like, so, and Snape's like, hold up. And then he shoots the door. And
that's right.
Wormtail's like, rah, 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 and like runs wherever to his.
Skitters.
Place. He skitters away. So Narcissa's like, hey, so kind of want to talk to you about something.
Bellatrix is like, you shouldn't be talking to him about this. Right.
And Narcissa's like, well, it's gonna happen. And Bellatrix is like, we shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and this is the part where Bellatrix is like, I don't trust you. Mm-hmm. And Snape's like, the Dark Lord trusts me, yo. And Bellatrix is like, well, I don't. And here's why. And I'm gonna forget all the reasons.
Right.
But one is, why didn't you help, or why did you block Voldemort from getting the Sorcerer's Stone?
Right. Why didn't you kill Harry Potter?
Why didn't you kill Harry Potter when you're in his presence? And why didn't you return to the Dark Lord at the end of book 4 when everyone showed up?
And why didn't you look for the Dark Lord when he died?
Right. I was going to say, I think there's 4.
There's 4.
Yeah.
And Snape says so coolly, like, I will answer your questions.
Yeah.
But first, I want to ask you, do you not think the Dark Lord has asked me all of these questions? And do you not think that I have provided satisfactory answers to the Dark Lord, the greatest legilimens of our time.
Yeah.
And she's like, what?
And Bellatrix is like, shit.
Well, but I still want to know.
And Snape's like, fine.
Yep.
And he goes, as far as not trying to find him when he was gone,
right.
Mr. Lucius Malfoy, thought that he was gone.
Yep, he was dead.
I regret this, but it's true.
Yep.
I never went to go find him, because I thought he was dead.
Lots of people did.
Right. Numero dos. The Sorcerer's Stone thing.
Right.
He's like, I did not know that Voldemort was on the back of Quirrell's head.
I think he says, the Dark Lord had not chosen to reveal himself to me.
Right. And he's like, which is regrettable. Like, I wish he would have trusted me in that moment, but what? You know, and he's like, and I just thought that Quirrell wanted the stone, and I was like, whatever.
I only saw unworthy Quirrell trying to take the stone for himself.
Right. 3. Which is... not returning.
Why didn't you kill Harry Potter, ever?
Oh, okay.
Or we could do not returning.
No, that's fine. Why didn't you kill Harry Potter? And Snape is like, Dumbledore's right there.
Right.
And, like, that's kind of a dumb move.
Right. And
there's some other really good
reasons. Well, he says, there were rumors around the boy when he was young.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That
only a even more powerful Dark Lord could have vanquished...
The Dark Lord.
The Dark Lord. So I was waiting to see what kind of talent might develop and that he might... We might rejoin around him. And right. then he says, but the boy is talentless and
yeah,
a waste of space.
But Harry sucks, so whatever.
Because I'm Snape and I'm awful.
And then he says, by the way, there's one part in here that I want to kill Snape. And we will get to it. But anyway.
Is it all of the book? Because I would go for all of the book.
Well, probably all of the book. But there's one moment where, like I was reading and the, like, white hot rage, like, sorts through my body. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, so, he's like, oh, I didn't return to the Dark Lord right away because, the Dark Lord put me at Hogwarts. Mm-hmm. He wanted me here to be a spy for you guys. Like, to show, you know, like, to pass information along from Dumbledore and what the Order of the Phoenix is probably doing. Right. And if I would show up to your meeting right away, it's probably gonna look like I'm with you guys and I'm not gonna be the most effective spy.
Right. But by waiting 2 hours, I was able to secure my position at Hogwarts, and I returned to Voldemort only under Dumbledore's command, therefore making him still think that I am on his side.
Exactly. And Bellatrix is like, damn it, those are really good options.
Yeah.
And explanations.
Yeah.
And Snape is like, all right.
So why are we here?
Yeah.
Is that it?
So Narcissa's like, hey, so...
She is so upset.
She's, like, crying.
Sobbing.
Like, sobbing,
shaking.
Heart-wrenching sobs. And she says something about Draco.
Right. My son, my only son.
My son, my only son.
A lot of that.
And Bellatrix is like, we should not be talking about this. And Snape says... Bellatrix, you are right. Like, if the Dark Lord says that this should be a secret, it should be.
Right.
However...
I already know
the plan, so...
Right.
Let's talk about this.
And Bellatrix is clearly pissed that Snape knows the plan, because so she doesn't like Snape.
She does not like Snape. She does not trust him. She doesn't like him.
Probably because the Dark Lord gives him honor.
Yeah.
When she, you know, rotted in Azkaban for years.
Right, and she's in love with him.
Also that.
So... In love with Voldemort, not Snape.
Right.
That would be an interesting twist.
That would be, ooh.
Hmm. Anyway, he's like, I already know the plan, so.
Right.
Yeah, and Narcissa's like, I am freaking out about this.
Yeah.
And Snape is like, okay.
He's too young, he can't do this.
Right.
The Dark Lord is punishing him by giving him this task.
He's punishing him for his father's mistake, because Lucius is now in Azkaban.
Right.
For screwing things up at the Ministry.
Yeah. Getting caught at the Ministry and not getting the prophecy
and
to
not
Voldemort.
Right.
So Voldemort has no idea what's in the prophecy.
Right. So, So Snape is like, hey, I will protect Draco.
Yeah.
And Narcissa is like, oh, will you? And then Bellatrix is like, haha. She's like, will you do an unbreakable vow? And Snape's like, and then goes, yes.
Right.
But his expression, like, doesn't change, it says. Like, he's just, like...
Yeah, he's very Snape-like.
Yep. And so, Narcissa and Snape hold right hands.
Right.
And Bellatrix puts her wand over them.
Mm-hmm.
And Narcissa says, will you protect Draco,
mm-hmm.
like, this year and what he's
yes.
doing or something? And then Snape says yes, and a red, like, spark kind of thing, like a... Worm.
Yeah.
Like a sparkly worm.
Like the trail of a sparkler.
Yeah. Comes out of Bellatrix's wand and, like, wraps itself around the hands.
Mm-hmm.
Question
two is, will you assist Draco in accomplishing his task in whatever way possible?
Yeah.
This impossible task, by the way, that Narcissa is absolutely certain that...
That
Draco cannot
do. Draco cannot do this. And Snape says yes.
Yep.
And then the third...
Yeah.
Oh, and then another thingy comes up.
Yeah. And then the third one is, and if Draco fails, will you carry out his...
Task.
His mission?
Yeah.
And Snape pauses, like, ever so slightly, and then says yes.
And then the third
yes.
one goes, and then fade to black.
Right. So we still don't know what the mission is.
Yeah.
But it's something that Draco has been given by the Dark Lord.
And there's this weird unbreakable vow thing going on between
right.
Draco and Snape.
Right.
Now, Harry Potter.
Now Harry Potter. Harry yes. Potter.
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
We open on Harry
Privet
Potter.
Drive.
On Privet Drive. on Harry Potter sleeping with his face pressed up against a window.
That's right!
With his glasses askew, which was a funny picture in my head, so I remembered the detail.
I don't think we... Is that in the movie? I don't think that's in the movie. I would love to have that. Right? Just Dan Rad being all like...
with, like, drool coming out.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
it's clearly uncomfortable.
His room's a mess.
Yep.
Hedwig's in her cage. Mm-hmm. There's, like, food wrappers everywhere. Yeah. And newspapers.
There's
and
Daily Prophets
books.
Everywhere.
Yeah. And then a letter that Harry's holding in his hand, which says, Harry, I will call upon you
at exactly
sometime.
I don't remember if it's 8 o'clock or 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock,
10 o'clock, because it's late.
Yeah.
10 o'clock on whatever evening.
Friday.
Friday evening.
Seems good.
To accompany you to...
The Burrow.
The Burrow, where you will spend the rest of your summer vacation.
Right.
Until you attend Hogwarts. Right. I will accompany you to the Burrow, and then we have one stop to make. Like, I have an errand to run.
Yes.
Is in there.
I don't think he actually says that in the letter.
I thought it was in the letter.
Okay, sure.
I don't know. I thought it was like...
Take two drinks, everyone.
Take two drinks, because we both won that. Or both lost.
Right. Either way, I take a drink.
So, he's like... Yeah, and it says Albus Dumbledore.
Yeah.
Hugs and
right.
kisses.
Right. In purple ink, loopy handwriting.
Yes.
Harry doesn't... So then we get internal monologue for Harry.
Yeah, because he's seeping.
Or internal third-person omniscient is what it's technically called, where you can see into the minds of... Well, no, it's not third-person omniscient because you can only see in the mind of Harry, whatever. Third-person particular, that's what that's called. So third-person particular, we get backstory on why Harry is sleeping with this letter in his hand, which is basically he got the letter, but isn't really sure. Like, this seems too good to be true. He's only been at the Dursleys for 2 weeks.
Yes.
And to get to spend the... rest of the summer at the Burrow seems impossible. He and Dumbledore have had sort of a tenuous relationship, if you recall in book 5, when Dumbledore was sort of avoiding his gaze on account of Harry being possessed by Voldemort, like, pretty much all the time.
Yeah.
But
then Dumbledore kind of redeemed himself and, like, saved Harry's life and stuff.
So well, there was that. And, so Harry's not really sure, which is why he's not packed, because he's like, I don't want to pack and then have to unpack.
Yeah, like, he's like, because... Dumbledore asks if that would be all right. Harry replies yes, and then never heard anything. So he's like, I don't know if this is legitimately happening, and I don't want to get my hopes up and then have them dashed.
What if it's a Death Eater faking me out or just Dumbledore being a jerk?
Yeah. So, yep. Then, promptly at 10 o'clock, a light goes out.
Yep.
On the street.
Dun, 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 dun.
And Harry's like, I'm up, and grabs his wand. He's like, uh-oh. And then, because it could be bad. And then, here's the doorbell ring. And Mr. Dursley's like, who the ruddy hell could be calling at this hour?
And Harry's like, all right,
like,
forgot to mention that.
I forgot to tell the Dursleys. And then, like, goes running down the stairs, and Dumbledore is like, hi, I'm sure that Harry has told you about my arriving. And then he's like, and then there's, like, a pause or something, or... I don't remember.
Yeah.
Vernon starts to yell or something, and Dumbledore's like, or apparently he hasn't.
Right.
But hi, I'm Dumbledore. Right. And then he's like, and it's really rude for a guest to be standing on the front step this long, so may I come in or something?
I think he said, let us assume that you've graciously invited me into your home.
So let us assume. Yep. Dumbledore is so awesome.
He's just,
like,
and so then he comes in, and then he sees Petunia.
Yep.
And he says, Petunia, this must be Petunia. We have corresponded, and nods.
Yes.
And Harry's internal thought process is, it's kind of a weird way to remind somebody that you sent them a howler. Which I don't remember when he figures out that it's Dumbledore who sent the howler that said to Petunia, remember my last. Must be covered at some point in the book.
It must be in book 5.
Yeah, obviously.
It's probably in the obligatory Dumbledore Harry Potter wrap up at the end of every book. By the way, I did this, and this.
Right.
This happened.
Here's my diary.
Here's some explanation.
My calendar.
All right, get on the train.
Go home now. Bye. Hope you'll be safe.
So then Dumbledore invites them all into their living room to sit down.
Mm-hmm.
And the Dursleys, I don't think, even move, so Dumbledore moves the couch that scoops them up. And then
knocks their knees out underneath them and they fall into it.
And then he's like, let's just assume that you offered me a drink and, like, procures drinks for them.
Right.
Which...
some sort of golden liqueur.
Yep. which the Dursleys don't take, and the cups keep hitting them in the head. Yeah, like, to, like, drink them.
I think bouncing up and down on top of their heads by the end of the conversation.
And by the end of the conversation, they're like, we're just gonna cover it now. Or they say something about it, and Dumbledore's like, oh, I can take care of that. Although it would have been much more polite to just drink it.
Yeah. So that's great. But so Dumbledore does some recap for the Dursleys, where he's just like, hey, so Lord Voldemort is back. And they're like, okay.
And he's like,
no effect. And, I don't know, what else does he recap for them?
Well, yeah, that's kind of all he recaps.
It's basically just, like, and hey, oh,
he does the house stuff.
Oh, he says, oh, right, the house thing.
Yeah.
He says, okay, should we do the house thing, or should we do the Dursleys taking care of Harry thing?
I think the Dursleys taking care of Harry thing is first.
Okay, so basically he says, when I dropped Harry off on your doorstep 16 years ago, whatever it was, You know, I asked you to take him in and treat him as, I hoped you'd treat him as one of your, as your son. You have not done this.
Yeah.
You have, you know, abused and neglected him and, you know, treated him as just the barest of inconveniences to tolerate. And then says, I think something along the lines of, at least he has escaped the damage done to the young man sitting between the two of you. And Dudley is like, what?
What are you talking about?
Me?
What? I think even Vernon and Petunia they're like he's...
Well, they're like, deeply worried. They're like, what does the wizard see that we have...
Yeah.
So that's cause for concern. But yeah. Basically, he says, you have begrudgingly offered Harry house room,
mm-hmm.
and this has cemented the sort of blood mark of,
Well...
the sister dying.
Dumbledore put, like, a magic spell kind of deal... Right. On the house, on number 4 Privet Drive, that as long as Harry called it home, he would have protection there.
Right.
As long as he called it home. So Harry has been, like, he's been sent back, which kind of recalls back to in book 3 when Sirius is like, hey, come live with me. Like, it would have been, I was like, maybe that would not have gone over so well.
Exactly. Dumbledore been like, I can't.
You can't. So as long as Harry called this place home, he had protection there. So, Dumbledore says, Harry's gonna leave tonight, but this is still his home. He was mm-hmm. here for 2 weeks and still claims this is home.
Mm-hmm.
So, the protection is still on him. And this next year,
mm-hmm.
you have to let Harry come back here for one more year of protection.
Right, until he comes of age.
Until he comes of age.
And this is when they interrupt him. They're like, he's too young, you won't come of age for another 2 years. And, because Dudley's older than him and he's not yet 18.
Yep.
And Dumbledore's like, but in the wizarding world, we come away 17 years. And Vernon is just like, preposterous. Like, this is the thing that he's finally able to get mad about. Like, how could you?
A 17-year-old?
Yeah.
As an adult? Pff.
I mean, I have to agree with him, but it's not like it's any better than a 19-year-old, or any worse.
So then Dumbledore's like, hey, Harry, you should go pack. And Harry's like, yeah.
Well, but then they also have to do the house thing.
That was the house thing.
Oh, I meant the other thing.
What's the other thing?
Well, Dumbledore is like, hey, so Sirius Black is dead.
Oh, that house
thing. And Harry's like, why are you talking about the thing that makes me sad and that I'm trying not to think about?
Yeah.
And Vernon is he says something like, his uncle's dead, and is really just awful about it.
Yeah.
And, so...
Because they're... horribly relieved because there's not a murderer now protecting Harry, and I just want to punch Vernon right in his mustache.
Hey, you never talked about what made you furiously angry at Snape.
It hasn't happened yet.
Oh, okay. I thought it was in Spinner's Drive, or Spinner's End, and I was like, what is it? I don't know what you're talking about.
It's when they get to Hogwarts.
Okay.
You're just trying to think of it now.
Yes, I am. So he's like, hey, so now that Sirius has passed, you've inherited everything. Like, he wrote his will for it to pass to you. And he's the last surviving Black, so that's, you know, he's the last surviving, like, son in the Black line. Harry's like, okay. So 12 Grimmauld Place now belongs to you. Harry's like, I don't need it. You can still use it for headquarters. And Dumbledore's like, that's great, but here's the problem.
But we have an issue.
Is that there's one other person that could have inherited everything, and that would be Bellatrix Lestrange. On account of her being a Black.
Yeah.
But then married. Hence, different last name.
But
They were cousins.
Right.
Right.
But why couldn't Narcissa have inherited everything?
Because whoa.
Right? Like, I just thought of that.
Whoa! There has to be an explanation for that.
Or Tongs.
Tongs is, like, way out, because Andromeda got blasted out.
Oh, that's true. They wouldn't have.
Yeah.
But why wouldn't...
Why wouldn't Narcissa
or
get it?
Or Draco.
What the... There has to be an explanation for this. Is it because it passes to the...
I thought Narcissa was older than Bellatrix.
Yeah. Why does it not pass to Bellatrix? Or why does it not pass to also baby Narcissa? Is it because she married into the Malfoy family and, like...
I don't know. And, like, has
I don't
her
think
own?
JK ever covers this I in the book. So. We're gonna have to Google this, faithful listeners. Anybody out there who knows, leave us a comment in the comment section, which I think there is one.
I think there is.
I'm
sorry. This is, like, blowing my mind right now.
Do you want to go Google it and, like...
Well, no, it's but... Fine.
Okay. We'll figure it out. We'll update you next week.
That's just so... Okay, sorry. So, everything...
Yeah.
I'm just so confused.
Yeah, why? Narcissa's still in.
She's honored, probably, for marrying Malfoy.
Yeah, exactly. Good
and
job.
I was thinking about it, but I think Rodolphus is still alive.
No, he's dead.
Lestrange?
Well, he's gone. Oh, Rodolphus Lestrange.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's still, I don't, like, he doesn't get much mentioned, but I think he's still alive, so why would it go
yes.
to Bellatrix in that?
Oh, nope. Oh, the ownership of the house is most likely to pass to the eldest of Sirius's living relatives, which would mean his cousin Bellatrix Lestrange.
Huh, so Narcissa
so apparently
younger?
Narcissa is younger, and it just doesn't count.
Okay.
All right, fair enough.
Sorry for that little diatribe, but that was just...
Okay, this is important!
This is important things that we discuss on this podcast.
Right.
So,
there's probably, like, a whole British pattern of house inheritance that we're just not privy to.
Probably.
That everybody reading Harry Potter was like, oh yeah,
oh,
totally.
Yeah,
and then the Americans are like, what's this?
What is this?
Yeah. I like that it's I like did a British accent for the Americans.
That was funny. It's like when we read the Bible and, like, people are inheriting things, and you're like, why are only boys
right.
inheriting, and
right.
why does the eldest get, like, over half of everything? You're
right.
Like, it's customs.
Or when Boaz gives his sandal for that, for Ruth, and you're like, what?
Anyway.
This is why I only have one flip-flop of all of my flip-flop players. I'm just handing out sandals.
Just handing out sandals. It's what I do.
So Dumbledore's like, so it's possible that the house, through wizarding law, has been passed to Bellatrix Lestrange. And Harry's like, well, that would be a problem.
And Harry's like, no.
Yeah, she can't have it.
She killed Sirius. She
yeah.
can't have it.
And Dumbledore says, quite.
Dumbledore's like, yeah.
And so I think Dumbledore says, like, we have to find out if Sirius wrote his will in such a way that wizarding law will recognize it. And therefore, then we can still keep using 12 Grimmauld Place. And Harry's like, well, how can we do that? Dumbledore's like, well, there's a very simple solution. And I think, does he just, like, wave his wand?
Yeah.
And then Creature appears. Creature, the dreaded, awful house elf who was just atrocious to Sirius, and Sirius hated him, and he's just the grumbliest, mudblood-hatingest house elf that ever did exist.
Yep.
Total opposite to Harry. Total opposite to Dobby, Harry's favorite house elf. So, Creature appears, and all he will do is go, won't, and is, like, throwing a tantrum, throwing himself on the floor, kicking
yeah.
everything.
He's like, I won't, like, won't. Obey Harry
yeah.
Potter. I will only answer to my mistress, Bellatrix Lestrange.
Yeah.
And he's just screaming, and Dumbledore's like, Harry, give him a command, because then we can see if
right.
If
he follow,
if
you
him.
Own him, then he has to follow your
Which,
command.
Harry would own him if he owns all of
Right.
Grimmauld Place.
Kind of an inheritance thing.
And so Dumbledore's like, give him a command. And Harry's like, oh! And Harry's like trying to think of one. He's just like, shut up! Because he's sick of the screaming.
Yep.
And then Creature immediately is like, and like can't say
yep.
anything.
I think he keeps like thrashing his head on the floor.
Thrashing his head and like turning like purple or something.
Yeah.
He's like trying to speak but can't. And Dumbledore just goes, well, that settles that then.
Problem solved.
Oh, and then Harry's like, well, what do I do with Creature?
Yeah.
And Dumbledore's like, I would suggest that you send him to Hogwarts to work in the kitchens, because there'll be other house elves that can keep an eye on him, and he'll be fine. And Harry's like, all right, go do that.
Creature's like, ugh, fine.
Creature's like, you suck.
And so...
In his head, though, because he can't actually
right,
say
he can't
anything.
Say anything. So, then, yeah, then Dumbledore's like, go goes pack. And
packs very hastily.
Yep.
And yeah, he's just like throwing stuff in his trunk and grabs his cauldron and stuff. And then comes down the stairs and finds that Dumbledore has just been sitting in like awkward silence
with the Dursleys.
Mm-hmm. Which is fun. And then he's like, hey, we're gonna go.
Yep, bye. And then, yeah, we go outside and... Does he send the trunk onto Hogwarts?
He sends the trunk out of the burrow.
Yeah.
To the burrow.
The burrow, thank you.
Please
carry.
Cauldron and, like, Hedwig's cage and stuff. And then he's like, hey, we have a quick stop to make. And Harry's like, oh, right. And then,
teaches him about sidelong apparition.
And then...
Whoa.
Dumbledore is like, he's like, we're going to apparate. Please hold my left arm because my wand hand is quite
frail
at the moment. And we see, and Harry looks at his hand. I think he has seen this earlier, but whatever. We'll do it now. He says, or like we see Dumbledore's hand, which is like shriveled up.
Blackened
and like really, really gross.
Yeah. Looks cursed.
Yeah.
And Harry says, I think, sir, what happened? And he says, not the time.
Oh, yeah. He's like, what is the exact line? It makes me happy. He says something about how, like, oh, Harry, all in due time, but it's a really good story, and I would like to have enough time to tell it properly or something. Mm. Like, he's like, yeah. So then they apparate.
Which is a very sickening feeling.
Yeah.
Apparently you feel like you're being squished through a rubber tube.
Mm-hmm. And then,
yeah.
Something about Harry's eyes getting pushed back into his
head. Yeah, you just feel like he's getting squished into himself. But then they appear in, outside of a house somewhere. I don't know.
I don't know where.
Or I think a block down or so. And so then Dumbledore's like, hey, we're going a block down. And Harry says, if we're going to see somebody, why don't we just apparate right into their house?
Yeah.
And Dumbledore says, well, that would be rude. Harry's like, oh, right, cool. And I think he says, we're going to see Horace Slughorn. He's a retired professor from Hogwarts, mm-hmm. and we are going to see if he will come back and teach another year.
Once again, we are short on staff. Yes.
And so, yeah, they go, and then when they come to the house, Dumbledore says, oh, dear, because the door's been ripped off its hinges.
Yep. And then, I think Dumbledore says, wand's out, Harry.
Yep.
Oh!
Oh, what?
Well, it doesn't really matter.
Okay.
But, okay, so, really quickly, when they're outside of number 4 Privet Drive, Dumbledore asks Harry to take out his invisibility cloak.
Right.
And Harry, hilariously, is, like, trying to block his really messy trunk from Dumbledore.
Mm-hmm.
Takes out his invisibility cloak. Dumbledore says, hey, keep that on you at all times from now on.
Which seems like that would have been, I mean, just... Why would you ever not have the invisibility cloak with you?
Yeah.
It is incredibly useful.
Also, Harry leaves it all over the place.
I know, right?
Like in every book, he's like, I'll just stash it here. I'm like, just keep it with you!
The only thing that you have connecting to your dad.
Yeah.
That and the book of photographs that Hagrid gave you.
And the Marauder's Map.
Okay, three things.
But still.
Point to each of us, by the way. If you're keeping track, it's now 4.5 to 3.5.
Excellent.
You're ahead.
Oh.
You're the 4.5.
Cool.
So they go in the house.
Oh, right.
And it's just a giant mess, and there's blood on the walls.
Yep.
And every piece of furniture is broken or tipped over. And Dumbledore's like, huh.
And Harry's like, oh.
Well, there's no body. Do you think they dragged it off? And Dumbledore's like, possibly. And then jabs his wand into a very large...
Armchair,
yes.
Like, stuffed armchair.
And the armchair goes, ouch! And untransfigures itself into a very portly gentleman. Like, the book talks all the time about how big Horace Slughorn is.
Yep. In the movie, he's quite slim, but no.
Yeah, no. His belly, like, obscures things quite often.
Yeah.
And this is Horace Slughorn, and so Dumbledore's like, hey, good job trying to make it look like the Death Eaters got you, and very destructive.
Yeah.
And Slughorn's like, what gave it away that they hadn't? And Dumbledore says, you didn't put the dark mark over the house, dude.
And Slughorn's like, dang it, I knew I forgot something. And then Dumbledore's like, oh, no, that's movie. Dumbledore's like, how have you been, Horace? He's like, well, I figured you guys were Death Eaters trying to,
Recruit me.
Mm-hmm. And Dumbledore's like, nope. And Horace Slughorn is like, yeah, I kind of knew, figured that when you walked in.
Although, and talks about, think...
And then he's like, oh, sorry.
No, it's fine.
And then he's like, but I'm not coming back to Hogwarts.
Right.
And Dumbledore's like, but you should. And he's like, no. And then he's like, I'm an old man. I don't like my creature comforts. I like my comforts. And Dumbledore's like, well, but, like, you wouldn't have had more than 2 minutes of warning that we were coming here.
Right.
And you did all this destructionness. And, like...
They're tidying up the room as they go, by the way. Replacing all the plates and blah, blah, blah.
And then he's like, and this... And then Slughorn says he's been living in Muggle houses when they go on vacation.
He's been living on the run for months.
Yeah. And so Dumbledore's like, so you don't have your comforts, really.
Right.
So why don't you just come to Hogwarts? And Horace is like, nope!
Nope, won't.
And Dumbledore...
If I come to Hogwarts, it's as good as signing up for the Order of the Phoenix, and then they'll certainly want to kill me. And
yeah.
Dumbledore's like, all right.
Dumbledore's like, fine. And is that when he goes to the bathroom?
I think so.
I would just like to say that I thoroughly appreciate that in a book there is someone going to the bathroom.
That's true.
Like, that happens
never
in
happens.
Harry Potter.
Yeah.
It never happens in books. Like, people never do normal-ish things.
That's
like,
true.
Go to the bathroom.
Almost, there's a bathroom in every book.
There's a bathroom in every book.
Good job.
Right? J.K. Rowling makes me happy.
So great. Wait, is there a bathroom book one?
Ooh. Oh, Hermione meets
right.
a troll in there.
Troll.
So.
Good job.
Love it. Anyway. So, Albus Dumbledore does a very human thing of going to the bathroom.
Wow.
And leaves Harry there. And when Harry walked in the door, he saw Horace, like,
yeah.
look him up and down and, like, see his scar and was like, ooh. It's Harry Potter.
Yep, exactly. And so Harry's just like, so. And does Horace say something like, you look very much like your father?
Yep.
And Harry's like, yeah, I'm aware. Because Harry's a whiny teenager.
He's like, everyone tells me that all the time.
And then Horace.
Which is true.
Yeah, it's true. Slughorn says, except for your eyes, you have, and Harry goes, my mother's eyes, yeah.
Yeah.
Seriously. Not doing a good job of trying to convince the guy to come to Hogwarts.
No.
Harry's no politician.
No. And then, I don't remember how they... Oh! Horace is like, I had your mother...
As a student.
Mm-hmm. As a student. She was a very clever witch.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorites. Although you're not supposed to have favorites as a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes on to talk about...
I think he says, I was surprised to find she was Muggle-born.
Yes.
And Harry's like, excuse
and Harry's like,
me?
One of my best friends is Muggle-born, and she is the best student in our year.
Mm-hmm.
Great Hermione line. Granger represent.
Good job.
And Slughorn is like, well, he's like, it's just surprising. He's like, don't think me, like, prejudice against it. It's just surprising. And Harry's like, I don't like you very much. In his head. He doesn't, like, say that.
Yeah.
So then Slughorn starts talking about, like, all the other
Well, he reminisces about... He reminisces about Lily creating...
Is that book or movie?
It's book, isn't it? I don't think it's... Yeah, it's... Oh. Now I'm not sure.
The fish thing?
Yeah, I was thinking... Is that only movie? Okay, never
mind.
It's
only movie.
So
at least I don't remember
just,
it happening in the book,
I think you're right. I think you're right. Because I'm only having a vague memory of it. Because
he talks, like, very little about Lily and then goes on about...
Right, he talks about all of the other students that he's ever taught and they've all, like, sent him pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, this is Gwendolyn... What's her name?
Jones?
Yeah, Gwendolyn Jones. Captain of the Hollywood... Of the...
Something Harpies.
Something Harpies. Which, okay, isn't that the team that Ginny ends up playing for?
It might be.
And Ginny's in the Slug Club. That's how she ends up playing for that team.
Oh, snap!
Point I know, right? Point to me! We're tied!
Yep.
So,
That's amazing.
Post book 7, spoiler alert, Ginny Weasley survives.
Yeah. And she plays professional Quidditch.
Right. For the Hollyhead Harpies.
Sure.
Hollyhead Harpies? I think
I
something
remember.
Like that.
Something Harpies.
And you'll... Slughorn gets her connected with the captain, basically.
Yeah.
So, he's like, yeah, I get season tickets to this, I have, you know, access to that, I always get these details about the ministry from all these different people who sent me signed pictures. And Harry's like, oh, and so they know where to find you when you're on the run. And he says, oh, no, I haven't been in contact with anyone for months. And you can see him get sad. And Harry's like, yeah, that sounds rough. I guess coming to Hogwarts would be a way to solve that. And he's like, oh, but I'd be basically signing up for the Order of the Phoenix. And Harry's like, no, no, you wouldn't. Not everyone's on the Order of... Not everyone at Hogwarts is in the Order of the Phoenix. And then I think he says something along the lines of, but, you know, Voldemort and, you know, of course, Slughorn being a wizard gets startled by the fact that Harry uses the name.
And Harry, like, giggles at...
Like, yeah, Harry's like, I'm gonna keep using the name.
Yep. Because it makes him uncomfortable and that makes me smile.
Yep. Because I don't really know how I feel about him. Yep. And, so Harry's like, you know, Dumbledore's really the only wizard that Voldemort was ever scared of. So Hogwarts would probably be the safest place to be. And Slughorn's like, okay.
And, well, he's like, whatever.
Yeah, he's just,
And then I think Dumbledore comes out at that point.
Yeah.
He's like, and,
I think he says something like, do you have an upset stomach, Dumbledore?
This is for my mother.
Yes.
Slughorn says, you were in there quite a long time. Do you have an upset stomach? And Dumbledore says, no, I was reading a Muggle magazine. I just do love knitting patterns.
So great, because they include it in the movie, and it's just a great, yes. Great line.
My mom, the knitter, always really liked that. My mom knits stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
Anyway.
So, Slughorn, so Dumbledore just says, all right, well, we've trespassed on Slughorn's, Professor Slughorn's, yep. You know, hospitality too long. Harry, let's be on our way. Yeah, and they're out the door, they're nearly out the door when Slughorn says, I'll do it!
Fine, I'll do it, you convince me. And Dumbledore's like, okay, see you on later. September 1st, probably.
Yep. So then they leave, Dumbledore says, so Harry, did you like him? And Harry's like, I'm not really right here. And then Dumbledore sort of explains Slughorn's thing, which is that he collects people.
Mm-hmm.
Which sounds so creepy when you say it that way, mm-hmm. But I really feel like this is one of the things that I do. That I just collect.
You do kind of collect people.
I collect people. Like, I find people that I think are really great, and then I'm like, and you're mine.
Yep.
Like, when I track people down via Twitter, and I'm like, we're friends now.
Right.
Yes?
You totally just, I don't know, this is really funny. I never thought I'm very, people, but you collect people.
I collect people. It's a thing.
That's awesome.
I'm not, is it awesome?
Well, I don't know. I find it funny when you do it.
Well, I think because I laugh at myself for doing it.
Right. And you know? Do it in, like, a fun way, where you're like, we're gonna be friends. As opposed right. to, like,
I hello, I want to add you to my collection.
Right.
Yeah. So, basically, he says, like, listen, when Slughorn comes to Hogwarts, he will try to collect you. He will try to introduce you into his little club of students, and, like, he will try to make you... You would be the jewel in his crown. Just be wary of him. I tell you this not to put you against him, but to put you on your guard. And Harry's like, okay.
All right.
Can I go to the Burrow now?
So then Dumbledore's like, yeah, we have to apparate. And Harry's like, damn it. And then they apparate. And Dumbledore's like, can we chat for a little bit?
Yeah.
And Harry's like, okay. And they go into the broom cupboard, the Quidditch brooms. And I remember seeing spiders on Dumbledore's hat. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what they talk about. I want to say Dumbledore was like, hey, you can tell Ron and Hermione what's going on.
Right.
But only Ron and Hermione.
Right. I think he says, like, you've been holding up really well in the wake of Sirius's death.
Yes.
And Harry's like, please don't talk about the thing.
Right. And he's like, I'm proud of you.
Dumbledore says, I'm going to be giving you private lessons this year.
Oh, yeah. He's like, also I'll be giving you private lessons.
And Harry's like, about what? And he's like, just some things. You'll find out.
A little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Yep. Harry's like, okay.
Yeah. Is that it?
I think so.
And then I think Dumbledore's like, but I won't deprive Molly of feeding you any longer or something.
Yeah. So then they walk up to the back door.
Yep.
Does Molly...
What?
What?
Well... They walk in, and Tonks is there.
That's right.
Super sad.
All gray hair.
Tonks has, like, weird, mousy hair that's, like, grayish-brown, and she's, like, I think she's crying.
She looks like she's been crying.
She looks like she's been crying. She looks like she's aged years.
Significantly.
She's just, like, broken down. And this is the Tonks who had, like, bubblegum pink hair and like,
just,
what
like,
changed
a badass.
Yeah. like, change her mouth into, like, a duckbill and then, like, go kick ass. Like,
yeah.
So.
Something's clearly very wrong.
Something is clearly very wrong with her. And Molly is, like, comforting her, and then Tonks is, like, sees that Dumbledore and Harry are there, and she's like, oh, well, I'll head out. And Molly's like, you can, like, stay. And Tonks is like, nope, I'm leaving.
Yeah, and she's like, well, but we're having...
But Remus is coming over for dinner tomorrow.
Yeah.
I think the order is coming or something.
Yeah, it's Remus and somebody else. I don't remember who.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I don't know.
And then, like, the family or whatever, if you want to come to dinner, yeah, and Tonks is like, no, no, that's fine. And she leaves and, like, apparates.
Yeah.
And then Dumbledore is like, hey, Molly, here's Harry.
Yay, Harry!
And Molly's like, ah!
Oh, you've grown a ton. So yeah. Has Ron. I think he's grown 3 inches since the beginning of the summer, which is 2 weeks, Molly. Calm down.
Yeah, easy.
And she's like, do you want some food? And I think
Harry's like, oh, I'm so freaking hungry.
Yeah, he just realizes he's hungry.
He's like, yep. And then Dumbledore's like, hey, I'm gonna head out.
Yep. And I think he says something about, like...
Yeah, Dumbledore says something.
The order.
Yeah.
But it's not really that important.
Whatever. And then Dumbledore leaves. And then Molly makes onion soup for Harry.
Right. And makes it too hot.
Makes it too hot. And she's just kind of, like, babbling to him as she's eating, like...
Babbling proudly.
Yeah.
Because?
Well, Arthur Weasley has had a promotion.
That is right.
Got a promotion.
Don't made head of an office. He does know. For the misuse of Muggle... Oh, no. For...
I think... Misuse of something.
Yeah.
Because now he's, like, tracking down... So, okay. People are freaking out because Voldemort's around.
Right.
And so people are, like, taking advantage of that and selling things that will, like, protect you, but really they, like, put jinxes on you. And, right. Like, hexes and weird junk goes down.
Yeah.
So...
Or they're just... Nothing.
Or they're nothing.
They're just a shiny necklace that doesn't do anything or whatever. And so Arthur's job is to track these things down. So Robert, we're just reading your text
message. We're just reading a text message from Robert. It's fine. Yeah, so then she's just, and Harry can tell that he's like, she's been building up to this. So she's, like, all excited about...
So proud of his promotion.
Yeah. And then Arthur comes home.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, actually, I expected him, or, he's a little late. I expected him home already or something.
Yeah.
Oh, and she looks at the clock.
Yeah.
There's this clock that, I don't know if we've talked about
before. I don't know if we've ever talked about the clock.
So Molly has a clock that it has 9
correct.
Hands on it of all the Weasley members. And instead of, like, being, like, showing the time, it shows where they are.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, home, traveling, work. At school, work, wherever. And all of the
there's also one option for in mortal peril.
Are pointed toward in mortal peril.
Is that midnight? I think that's midnight.
I'm not even sure. And then 11. She says, she's like, oh, it's been like that since Voldemort returned.
Yeah. But it's on top of the laundry stack, so it's clear she's, like, carrying around this clock and keeping an eye on it. So even though it says the same thing for everybody and barely changes, she's, like, she's so worried. Because Molly lived through the first war.
Yeah.
So Arthur comes home and is like, hey, it's Arthur, and... she tries to open the door, and he's clearly holding onto it from the other side, and, like, won't, he's like, no, you have to ask me the password. And she's like, Arthur! He's like, you have to, this ministry you have to procedure. Make sure
it's me, because it could be someone else in Polyjuice potion.
Right, and so she says, what is your life's dearest ambition? And he says, to find out what makes airplanes stay up.
Love it.
Which, I was listening to this while I was on an airplane, and I was like, you know what? Me too. We're in a giant flying metal tube. I'm not sure I feel okay about it. And then she tries to open the door, and he's like, no, now I have to ask you your question. What do you like me to call you when we're alone together? And Harry's like, bah! And starts, like, clanking his spoon really loudly and, like, trying to sort of hum. And she says, Molly Wobbles.
Molly Wobbles. So cute and hilarious.
And so then he comes in.
Yeah.
And she says, you know, a Death Eater could have just tortured that idea out of me before they killed me. He's like, yes, dear, but it's ministry procedure, and I've got to set a standard.
I have to set an example. Yeah.
And she's like, oh, Harry! Hey!
Hey! What's up? And Harry's like, hey! And then they kind of chat.
Yeah, just like, hey, how's stuff at the ministry? No, it's bad.
It's bad, but whatever.
Voldemort's back.
And then Harry gets tired, and then Molly's like, you're going to bed.
Yep. Very sweet.
And then he goes to Fred and George's old room.
Right.
And there's, like, boxes of, like, random stuff in there that he's, like, sorting through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he goes to sleep.
Yeah.
Oh, and his trunk is there and Hedwig's there.
Yep.
Yay.
Yay.
Yeah, and then he goes to sleep.
Yeah.
And then I don't remember how he's awakened next morning.
Ron and Hermione wake him up.
Oh, that's right. They, like, explode into the room. And yep. He's, like, scrambling for his glasses. Which, I don't get this. Like, okay, I don't have the greatest eyesight when I don't have my glasses on. But this is, like, one of those terrible movie and book tropes where, like, somebody who wears glasses, as soon as you take them off, just blind as a bat.
Yeah.
Just completely okay, that's a terrible metaphor because bats are really smart. But, like...
But they are blind. They just have...
Right, they have echolocation. But, like, if one of my friends bursts into my room, I can still tell who it is. Like, I don't need to scramble for my glasses to figure out who this person is. But anyway, so Harry has no idea who's in his room until he puts his glasses on, and it's Ron and Hermione, who are both really excited to see him. And then, Ginny also comes in and is like, oh, hey, Harry, how are you? And, says something like, oh, I just couldn't stay in the kitchen much longer. I just can't stand to be around her. And Harry's like, Harry's thinking to himself, that's a really rude way to talk about your mother. And Hermione says, I know she's getting on my nerves so much as well. And Harry's like, that's a really rude way to talk about your friend's mom. And Ron says something defensive, like, she's not all that bad. And, Ginny, like, lashes back at him and says, like, you just say that because you like her. And Harry's like, who are we talking about now? Because this does not seem correct. And Harry gets the answer, because outside of his room, he hears two women's voices chattering over each other, and Molly Weasley is saying, no, 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 I can do it, just give it to me. And this highly accented, very floaty voice says, no, I will take it straight to him. And in flounces Fleur Delacour, she of the Triwizard Tournament, of the silvery hair, and the part Vila, and just gorgeous, stunning girl who Ron had a huge crush on, if you'll remember, and who thinks Harry is just delightful because, A, Harry's the chosen one, and, B, that he saved her sister, Gabrielle. I think she likes him more because of Gabrielle than of anything else, but so she flounces in with his breakfast tray, which Molly has clearly prepared, and she kisses him on, I think, one cheek, maybe both cheeks, and is like, oh, Eddie, it is so good to see you and to be in the same, and he's like, hi, why are you here? And she says, oh, you have not told him the good news, and he looks around the room, and, like, no one thinks this is good news, except for Ron, who has sort of that dazed expression on his face, which is how he handles girls. And, so she tells him, like, oh, Bill and I, we are engaged! And Harry's like, oh! Congrats? Clearly no one else in this room is happy about that, except maybe Ron, but I don't know. And, yeah, I don't remember what the rest of the conversation is.
Well, she leaves. At some point, Molly comes in...
Molly's already kind of, like, in the doorway because she followed her up with the tray.
But I feel like Molly says something about you to get, like, laundry done or something.
Yeah.
And then, because then she makes right. Ginny join her. And Ginny's like, she just only wants me to go so that she wanted to be alone with Phlegm.
Yep, that's what they call her, Phlegm. Because she's always, like, clearing her throat, or maybe that's just Ginny's name.
I don't know. I don't know if it's ever explained.
I don't think it is.
Or, like, deliberately explained. So then Ginny, Fleur, and Molly exhumed.
Right. Ginny leaves last and twirls her hair in a very Fleur-like fashion.
Yes, and Harry laughs, but takes note.
Yeah, he does. Starting. He does. Yeah, does this book.
Yep. So then,
spoiler alert.
Harry likes.
We're gonna be talking a lot about the fact that if you've seen the movies, if you've seen book seven, if you've seen movies 7 and 8, you know Harry and Ginny end up together.
Right.
Have a couple of kids.
And
give them terrible names.
Movie 6 is also, like, all about the relationships. Mm-hmm. And book 6 is pretty relationship-heavy.
Yeah,
Not as heavy as the movie is, but...
But, yeah. So, just a reminder, we'll be talking about that. Even though Harry himself will not acknowledge it until, like, what, midway through book 6?
Yeah,
later in book 6.
Yeah, it's a long time. Cause it's just because it's Ron's sister, and Ron's his best friend.
Right. Noble, but wrong.
Yeah. So then they leave, and then I think that's when Harry talks to Ron, Hermione, because it's just them.
Yeah.
And says, like, hey, Dumbledore's going to be giving me private lessons, which that's neat.
Yes, and they're like, about what?
They're like, what?
And they're like, oh, maybe defensive spells and, like, hexes and stuff.
Right. Oh, and this is when Harry's like, hey, this is what the prophecy said.
Yeah,
and Hermione's like, oh, okay.
Right.
And Ron's like,
meh. Yep, and so,
like, because the prophecy says, recap.
Yes. That, neither can one must die at the hand of the other, for neither can live while the other survives.
Yeah, so Harry's got to kill Voldy.
Or Voldemort's going to kill Harry. And the Daily Prophet has been calling Harry the Chosen One, as in the Chosen One to defeat Lord Voldemort, and Harry's just kind of like, that's kind of true? Yeah. So that's a thing. And Hermione and Ron are like, oh, buddy. We're really sorry. Yep. Oh. Nope.
Well, there's a theory, but I think I'm going to wait until book 7.
Is it about Neville?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's about what the prophecy could have meant, but I think you need to know the ending in order for it to make sense.
Is it so, Harry can never know? Yep. We'll cover that in the
end. We'll cover that in the end. Okay. So, then they know the prophecy, they know that whole deal. Oh!
I think that's a totally wrong interpretation of the prophecy, by the way. But we can talk about it.
Well, yeah, but it was just an interesting, I was like, oh, okay. And then I was like, immediately dismissed it. But
yeah, exactly.
Hermione picks up a golden in the room.
Telescope.
A telescope. And I believe it's shortly after Harry says, like, yeah, they're right about me being the Chosen One. She yelps out in pain, and they're like, what?
She's, like, disappeared in a cloud of smoke also.
Yeah, she disappears in a cloud of smoke, and when she comes out of the smoke, she has a black eye, and she's like, it punched me!
And she squeezed the telescope, and it punched her!
Yeah, and Ron's like, this is Fred and George's room! Like, don't touch anything! Like, this stuff probably isn't even ready for the store yet.
Yep.
And Hermione's like, And then, I think...
Then we just get a
Molly
montage.
Calls them to lunch.
Yeah.
And then she's, like, trying to get the black eye off, and she can't.
And Fleur says something like, oh, Bill tells me Fred and George, they are very funny! And Hermione's like, fuck you.
Essentially, that's exactly what happens.
Sorry, gentle listeners.
No, but that's exactly what occurred. And yeah, and there's kind of... Oh! And, oh my gosh, a lot of stuff happens.
So much happens.
I know we say that every time, but, like, it amazes me how long it takes us to, like, tell these stories.
I know.
So, Harry says, oh, and our owls should be arriving. Oh! And Hermione's like, what?!
Our owls,
and then she's just freaking out the rest of the morning. Like,
our
she's
owls
like,
not being the flying birds, but being the ordinary wizarding level results.
And so, like, the tests that will determine their future.
Right.
My voice sounded weird there. Okay, so then, there was, like, a weird thing.
Yeah, there was a thing.
There was a thing. Anyway, so then Hermione's, like, freaking out the rest of the morning. He's like, I know I failed, whatever. And she's like, meh, I didn't do as well as whatever.
Yeah.
And Ron is like, shut up. Like, he's like, you probably got all freaking outstandings.
Right.
And, like, I'm in real trouble here, lady.
Right.
And so... poor Ron.
And so I think they get down to breakfast or lunch, and she's harassing Mrs. Weasley. Like, are you sure that no owls have arrived yet today? And Mrs. Weasley's like, yeah, I would have noticed.
Yeah, I think it's, like, 10 in the morning or something. Yeah. And Mrs. Weasley's like, you can wait a little bit, lady. And then suddenly... they see three...
I think Hermione stands up from the table and points out the window and screams.
Yeah.
And I think Harry and Ron jump up with their wands out.
I think so.
We'll defend... Oh, it's owls.
Oh, it's owls. I thought it was like hawks or something.
No, it's three...
Or eagles. Or black owls. Or like, they're like weird... I know, I don't think that exists. But like, in my head, I was like... Like, it's a weird type of bird. Like an official bird. Maybe not.
I don't remember that, but I believe you.
I feel like it's like...
Point to Carrie.
I don't know if it's eagles or...
Okay, eagles
like
sound
good.
Let's say eagles.
Okay, we'll go with
that
eagles.
Sounds all nice and American. I like that.
Yeah.
It seems fitting for the State of the Union evening.
It does.
America!
F yeah. I can't swear.
That's right.
Because my mom is listening.
Sorry, Carrie's mom.
Although, well, I have sworn this before, but I'm just not going to lay out any more F-bombs.
Okay, that seems
I'm
fair.
Try not
I'm
to.
I just... It just happens.
You can. I'm not saying you shouldn't.
I don't feel like I should set a bad example for the young person in the room.
Well,
being
yeah.
you.
Oh, I thought it was Mags.
How old is Mags in cat years, though?
She's 2-ish.
Okay, so in cat years, that's
two
like...
2 or 3, so she's like...
15?
15-ish.
Okay.
Yeah, so she's swearing up a storm with her friends.
She's like, oh, she's too cool.
Yep.
Oh yeah, she's totally riding the bus right now. She's not old enough to drive.
Nope.
Oh my gosh, can you imagine being on a bus and having a smartphone?
Oh my gosh, my life would have been so much better.
My life would have been so much worse. Because you can just, like, talk so much trash about people on social media and be, like, sharing Snapchats or screenshots and...
Okay, well, that would have been bad. But I was on the bus for over an hour.
Oh.
So...
Yeah, definitely you would want to
I would have enjoyed being on Facebook.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
Anyway.
So, they get their owls.
Oh, they get their owls. And they open them up. And... yeah, you talk. I'll talk. I'll vamp. So, so they get their owls, and Harry's, like, kind of freaking out. Hermione's in a freaking tizzy.
Yeah.
And the only ones that we get, like, all of the things on are Harry, so
yes.
Do you want to read those, or?
Yeah, so ordinary wizarding level results for, as a reminder, passing grades are outstanding, O, exceeds expectations, E, and acceptable, A. Fail grades are poor, P, dreadful, D, and troll, T.
Which actually exists.
Yeah, not a joke by Fred and George. So, Harry James Potter has achieved, in astronomy, A, acceptable, care of magical creatures exceeds expectations, charms exceeds expectations, herbology exceeds expectations, potions exceeds expectations, transfiguration exceeds expectations, history of magic, dreadful, divination, poor, defense against the dark arts, outstanding.
Yeah.
Because he produced a corporeal Patronus and is
right.
A badass.
Which Harry is like, okay, I'm okay with this. Because, like, he's like, I knew I wasn't going to do well in divination.
Right.
Because that's lame. And he's like, and in History of Magic, I passed out halfway through. So
right.
There wasn't really any chance I was going to get through
of,
that
you
one.
Know, getting visions planted in my brain by Voldemort.
Right.
Which
I feel like they should have an asterisk next to that.
Right.
D, like, was experiencing traumatic experience.
Right.
Anyway.
So, Ron,
Only failed
Divination and History of Magic, same as
yep.
Harry.
But there is no outstanding
right.
grades on his, so,
grade.
Yeah.
But he still gets, so you get I think British children understood this instinctively, and American children are like, what is this? This is the weirdest version of the SATs ever. but basically, if you get a pass grade, then you've earned an owl in that thing, so when you get, like, 6 owls if you get 6 pass grades. So, so both Harry and Ron get 7 owls. And Mrs. Weasley says that's more than Fred and George got together. And I'm like, how did they only get 3 each?
Well, it's
that's
Fred and George.
Pretty, yeah. And then,
I mean,
poor, so then Hermione, like, Ron snatches away her paper and is like, what did you get? And she's like, nah, I hate everything. And he's like, uh-huh. And he looks at it and he says, uh-huh, okay. 10 outstandings and 1 exceeds expectations in Defense Against the Dark Arts. And I believe that Defense Against the Dark Arts exceeds expectations is because she is unable to defeat a Boggart. Because the Boggart takes the form of a professor who tells her she's failed everything. Oh no, that's in book 3.
That's in book 3.
I don't know why she doesn't pass, because she's one of the few who can produce a Patronus when they practice.
I feel like she screws something up.
She must screw something up.
I
find it surprising that she gets succeeded.
I find it surprising too, but I think it might have been another Boggart, or there was something that was like.
Yeah.
And the thing is about these is that, like, outstanding is, like, amazing.
Yeah.
Like, high above where you should be. And
right.
I feel like Defense Against the Dark Arts is the one subject where Hermione is where she should be.
Fair
enough. And is not exceeding,
that's
like,
true.
She's not going above and beyond. And that's the one subject that
that's
Harry
true.
Is, which is why they can be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yay! Everybody gets things that they want, except for Hermione, who's like, oh no, I got an E in
yeah.
Defense Against
and
the Dark
Ron's
Arts.
Like, you're seriously disappointed, aren't you? And Hermione's like, shut up!
Yeah. So,
I don't remember what...
Then we just get a montage, basically, of, like, them playing two-a-side Quidditch.
Yep.
Which, I think, is it Harry and Hermione together, and then
Ginny
and Ron
together? Which is, like, a weird comment about how, like... Like, there's a weird sentence where it talks about, like, how Harry's really good and Ginny's okay, so it kind of worked
out. No, Hermione's terrible.
Hermione's terrible and Ginny's okay, so, like, the sides are
is
even.
Is that
And
how
I was
it goes?
Like, J.K. Rowling, like, that's kind of a mean line. Like, it was a weird, like...
I don't think that's the line, though. I think it's, Hermione was dreadful and Ginny good.
Oh, okay.
And we already know Hermione's a terrible flyer.
Well, right, for sure. But I was just like, it just seemed like a really weird
Fact.
Line.
When you try to play Hermione in the Harry Potter Lego game. Wii game,
she's
awesome at everything except for flying.
Yeah.
Flying, it's like trying to ride a bucking bronco. She cannot do anything.
No.
Which I feel like that's just...
That's Hermione.
Also, to be fair, they get one lesson in flying ever.
It's true.
Like, Madame Hooch gives them one lesson, which is interrupted by Neville breaking his arm, because Malfoy's a jerk, and then they never try flying again. Ever.
Yeah, that is kind of a weird
plot hole. They play two-a-side Quidditch pretty much all summer, and then they get their book lists.
Yep.
And so when they get their book lists, then it's like, hey, if we're going to Diagon Alley, we're also going to visit...
Fred and George!
Fred and George's joke shop!
Ba-bow!
Meow!
Molly's like, hey, we'll go this weekend when your dad can be off of work, and Ron's like, why can't we just go now? And Molly's like, we need extra protection, and Ron's like, that's lame, and then Molly's like, you're lame.
Yep, correct recounting of that conversation.
Yeah. So then they get cool ministry cars again, because they have Harry freaking Potter with them.
Harry freaking Potter!
And they go to Diagon Alley, but they find that Diagon Alley is kind of a sad... Well, they go to the Leaky Cauldron first.
Right.
And they see Hagrid.
Yay!
And Harry's like, what up, Hagrid? And Hagrid's like, hey, I'm your extra security detail.
They find out that there's going to be a security detail, and Harry's like, but it turns out to be Hagrid.
Yeah, and he's like, woohoo! And so they see Hagrid, and then they go into the Leaky Cauldron, and Tom... The
barkeep
is like looks up all, like, it's deserted in there. There's no one in there. And Tom looks up at Hagrid all like expectantly and excited that he's gonna buy something. And Hagrid's like, yeah, I'm on Hogwarts business, so we're just passing through. You have to, like, you know, you understand, right? And Tom, I think, just like goes back to wiping a glass all sad. So then they get through the Leaky Cauldron and get to the brick wall where Hagrid taps on some bricks that opens up the wall to Diagon Alley.
Right.
They walk in there and they find a very different Diagon Alley than they had once known.
Right.
It's like no one is stopping and talking in the streets. It's just really like everyone's just going from shop to shop. There's flyers all over the store windows that are talking about, like, different security measures you should be taking. So, like, when Arthur and Molly ask the questions, like, you should be asking questions of your family and friends to make sure they're not on Apologies Potion. If anyone is acting weird, they might be under the Imperius Curse. Like, let someone know. Yeah. Like, all these different kind of things. Along with posters of wanted... and known Death Eaters, so people like Bellatrix Lestrange or Fenrir Greyback.
Yikes.
Yeah, which I don't think... Do we really know him yet?
I don't think so.
Because I think... Yeah. So, that's happening. Also, a lot of the shops are boarded up, including the ice cream stand, which made me really sad, because that was where, during book 3, Harry, like, hung out there and did his homework and got free... ice cream sundaes from Florine Fortescue.
I believe that was correct, yeah.
But he's been, I don't know if he's missing or like on the run or he was taken or
I don't remember.
Something.
Ollivander's also gone.
Yeah, also Ollivander's is gone. And Harry's like, where are people going to get their wands? And someone tells him,
I think
it's Molly or Lupin.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Lupin's there. Yay,
yeah.
Lupin!
Lupin says, well, people will make do with other people, with other wands, but they're not going to be as good.
Yeah, Ollivander's the best.
Ollivander's the best. So, they're going to do shopping, and they kind of want to get done fast. So, Arthur's like, Molly, why don't you and I go and get books for everyone, get everyone's books taken care of. And then Harry, Ron, and Hermione can go with Hagrid to Madame Malkin's to get new robes, because Hermione wants new dress robes.
Right.
And Harry and Ron have both grown a ton.
Yeah.
So Molly's, like, hesitant, but then is like, alright. So Hagrid says, I'll just stand outside because I'm giant. Yep. And you guys go in. And they go in, and who is there but one Mr. Draco Malfoy.
Draco Malfoy.
Which is kind of a throwback, I believe, to book one, when Draco is also in there, and when Harry is also with Hagrid. And so Draco is getting fitted for new robes.
Right.
And it's just the little snot he always is. And Narcissa's
I think
in there.
When he come in, like, he, when he sees Hermione, he calls over to his mother and says, Mother, if a stench has suddenly filled your nostrils, it's because a mudblood has walked in.
Yeah. And Narcissa is, like, baiting it on. Like, she is, like, playing into what Draco's saying. And so they're just being jerks. And, Draco, like, at some, and then Draco's complaining about the robes, and then he, like, wrenches his arm back at one point, and he's like, she poked me with the knee, or with a pin, and that's it, we're out of here, and whatever. And so after this, like, terrible speech from both Draco and, Narcissa about, like, basically Harry being awful, and Hermione's the worst, and whatever, their usual bile, they leave, and they're like, we're gonna go to somewhere else. And Madame Alkins is like, ugh, and picks up the robe that she had been working on, probably quite diligently for Draco, and, like, puts it back. And then she's like, what do you guys need? And then, and then...
I figured it was the right time.
Right. And then she starts fitting them for new robes, but she's really distracted, and...
She tries to sell Hermione boys' robes.
Yeah.
I don't remember what else. There's one other thing. But yeah, she's basically just like, ugh, get out of my shop.
Right. And then she, like, they finally leave.
Right.
They meet up with Arthur and Molly.
Right, who've got all their books.
Have all the books. And then they go to, like,
Bill comes to the house at some point and gives Harry gold, because he says that the lines at Gringotts are impossible right now. So that's how Harry has his money.
Right.
And he feels really bad about it, I think, again. Like, he always feels bad about his money. Maybe I'm wrong.
I remember the exchange, like, Bill is like, here's money.
Right.
It's taking, like, 4 hours in line to get it from Gringotts, so I got you some when I was there. And, because he hands Harry money, and then Ron goes, where's mine?
That's right.
And then he's like, it's not mine, it's Harry's to begin with. And she just got it for him.
Yeah.
So then I think they go to, like, the owl shop and somewhere else. Like, it's kind of, like, just mentioned in passing where else they go. And then... At the end of the street, they see a huge sign that said, something about...
Why are you worrying about you-know-who? You should be worrying about you-know-poo, the constipation sensation that's sweeping the nation. And Molly's like, they'll be murdered in their beds! And Ron is laughing his tail off and just like, this is amazing, this is so funny.
Yep.
And the shop, like, in the midst of Diagon Alley, which has become so dreary and drab,
Weasley's Wizarding Wheezes
is just this explosion of color and light, and people are packed in the store.
Yep.
In honor of that, we made Weasley's Wizarding Wheezes, Skyving Snack Boxes Fever Fudge.
Fever
I think
fudge.
It's time to try it.
Okay.
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 So you bite the red end first.
Okay.
I'm gonna take this ugly one.
Well, I should take an ugly one too then.
Okay.
Okay.
Ready?
Okay. Mm. Getting a little more heat.
Okay, got the heat. Whoa. So this is fudge. This is white chocolate fudge that has... Oh my gosh, wow.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
It has cinnamon and cayenne in it.
Fever is happening.
I didn't put... Like, I only put a little bit of cayenne in because it was like, if you want a regular fever... Put in this much. If you want hospital grade, put in this much. And I was like, I will go regular.
Glad you did.
Woo! Woo! So then the blue end, gentle listeners, we'll put up a picture.
Yeah.
Is vanilla. Or you can put mint in it if you want. We did vanilla. Good job, team.
This is amazing.
This is great.
Dang. Thank you, Emmy.
Mm-hmm. Good job, Weezy's Wizarding Wheezes.
Delicious. I would totally skip class for this. Also, I gotta say, I'm glad we went with just vanilla.
Yeah.
Because I feel like the mint could exasperate the...
That was the one thing that I was
thinking
about.
In my throat.
Yeah.
It's good, though. Dang.
Yeah.
Not Fred Good and job. George. They know
they're really great
stuff.
So they go into the shop, which is awesome. If it's anywhere close to the fudge that we just experienced,
thumbs up. Good job, boys. and it's packed. It's just like, it's kind of like one of those things when you're having, you know, like, it's just a, like, they're all super worried and, like, this bad stuff is going on. And people just need to play, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And so they, do so. And so there's, like, the skiving snack boxes. There's, like, hardly any left because everyone's taking them. There's a section that,
there's like,
that's like that has like love potions and like different like acne cream and like stuff like that.
There's one that's like faked like muggle card tricks.
Oh yeah.
That are real card tricks. You know, like actual magic, and they're apparently really great for people like Mr. Weasley who love
muggle
things.
And they're like, it's not like a huge moneymaker, but we do decently in
right.
a little bit.
They talk about they have these shield hats.
Yes. That's in the So then they're talking to Harry, and they're like, hey, we have some stuff to show you in the back.
Yeah.
And they go through, like, they go in this back room, and so...
Because remember, Harry gave them their $1,000 galleon, or their 1,000 galleon startup fund, so, like, they love Harry.
So, they tell Harry that he can have anything in the shop, just, like, take it, and Harry's like, I'm not gonna take your stuff.
Right.
And they're like, no, you gave us the startup money, like, whatever you want, you can have.
Yep.
And they show him the... So then they, like, kind of go back and they show them some stuff that they've been making because of this, like, scary time. So, they have these, like, little, like, kind of, like, rock thingies that you can throw and it'll put you in darkness for a little bit.
Oh, yeah. No, there's Peruvian powder.
Right. That's what I meant.
Peruvian instant darkness powder. So you grab a pinch, you throw it in the air, and it creates darkness.
Yep.
And then there's, what are the...
There's these little, like, decoy detonators.
Yeah, decoy detonators. That's totally it.
So, they kind of look, like, in the movie, they kind of look like moving bike horns. Which I feel like, because in the book, they don't really get much of a description. So, we're just going
to
go with that.
I always imagine them to be sort of like a more animated Roomba. Like a little circle.
Oh, I can see that.
But
DJ Roomba.
I like the duck horn.
Yeah. So, and they, just kind of create, like, a diversion, like a tiny explosion, so you can, like, get out of there. And then these shield hats, and I think they're also working on shield cloaks?
Yeah, because they make these shield hats that are supposed to be funny at first, where it's just, like
right,
you wearing it, and you dare your friend to curse you, and then it bounces off.
Yeah.
But then the ministry ordered them from the entire staff, because apparently the ministry staff can't do a good shield jinx, which is a little worrisome.
Which is a little scary. Especially, like, you're calling on, no offense, but you're calling on two 17, 18-year-olds.
Right, yeah. Had got six owls between the two
right,
of them.
And were expelled from school.
Right.
To make you, like, defensive armor.
Well... Desperate times, desperate measures.
So, let's just think about that, Rufus Scrimgeour.
Yeah, seriously.
So, and Harry's like, oh, that's, like, super cool and whatever. And he takes some of, like, he takes some of the powder and some of the, like, detonators or whatever.
Yeah.
So then they, like, come back in the shop and they're, like, hanging out. And then Harry sees out the window Draco Malfoy.
Oh, we skipped the part where they catch Ginny, like, looking at the love potions and they're like, no love potions for our little sister!
Yeah.
We hear you're going through boys left and right. And she's like, I can take whoever I want. That's my business.
Yep. And they're like, are you not currently dating a Dean Thomas? And Jay's like, shut up.
Yeah. I can date whoever I want. And yes, I'm not dating multiple boys at once. And his name is Dean. And stop it.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah.
So, yes. Then Harry
looks
out the window.
Looks out the window, sees Draco by himself.
Scurrying.
And Harry's like, huh. Earlier... Like, Narcissa was very close to Draco and was, like, making sure that she was near him.
Yep.
So for her to, like, for him to have gotten away from her, something significant is occurring.
Correct.
So he's like, hey, Ron and Hermione, look what's happening. And they're like, huh. And so he puts on the invisibility cloak and all three of them go underneath the invisibility cloak and try to, like, follow Draco, which kind of goes
awry.
But then they find him in Nocturne Alley.
Where else are you going to find Draco?
Because where else are you going to find Draco Malfoy? He's in Nocturne Alley at a shop called Borgin and Burks. Now, if you will remember from book 2, when Harry first tried flu powder, he ended up in Borgin and Burks And hid behind a cabinet when...
I think he apparated into the cabinet. Or no, maybe he hid in the cabinet.
I think he hid behind the cabinet.
Yeah.
When Draco's father and Draco came in.
Right.
And now Draco is kind of, like, by the cabinet, and so they can't see him.
Right.
From where Ron, Hermione, and Harry are looking. They can only see the owner of the shop, which I don't remember his name.
It's Borgin.
Is it Borgin?
Yeah, he's talking to Borgin.
Okay. So, Draco is talking to Borgin, and he's like, well, I need to know how to fix it. And Borgin's like, well, why can't you just bring it in? And Draco's like, it has to stay where it is, you dunce. Like, just teach me how to fix it. And Borgin's like, nee. And then Draco's like, I will tell Fenrir Greyback what you're doing right now, and he's not going to be too pleased. And Borgin's like,
yeah, okay. And then Malfoy clearly shows, they can see just a little bit of Malfoy, and they can see that Malfoy shows Borgin something, but they can't see what it is.
Right. And then Borgin kind of, like, changes his tune, like, he's all of a sudden very agreeable.
Yeah, he takes Malfoy more seriously. I think Malfoy says, maybe this will help you take me seriously.
Yes. And then shows him something.
Yeah.
And then Borgin's like, well, says something about, oh, Draco put something on reserve. Yeah. And then Borgin's like, why don't you just
Sell that one.
Yeah, don't sell that one. And Borgin's like, okay, why don't you just take it now? And Draco's like, because I would look like a prat walking down the street with it. Are you freaking kidding me? And Borgin's like, oh, you're right.
Yep. And I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
And so then Harry, Ron, and Hermione are like, Harry's like, we have to figure out what he was doing in there because I'm obsessed with Malfoy. And Hermione's like, okay, and gets out from under the cloak and goes in. And they're like, what the? Malfoy's left. And they're like, Hermione, what are you doing? And she's like, what a lovely day. If you've seen the movie, and if you've seen the movies, and you have seen book, is it 7 or 8 when she is... Bellatrix.
8. At the very beginning of 8.
Yes. When she is Bellatrix and there's just, like, this weird awkwardness of, like, Hermione is just not... Hermione's not a great actress.
No.
Emma Watson
is amazing
actress.
Hermione... Also...
Yes.
Just a quick shout-out to Helena Bonham Carter.
Also true.
Who is playing Hermione playing Bellatrix Estrange.
Right.
She's playing Bellatrix Estrange... Like, she's, yeah, it's... Yeah.
Well, and what they did to do that scene was they actually had Hermione, or they had Emma Watson do the scene first, and then then Helena Bonham Carter got up and imitated her. So it's Helena Bonham Carter imitating Emma Watson, imitating Bellatrix, or imitating Hermione Granger, imitating Bellatrix Lestrange. So it's just a, like, sequence of really great acting.
Just amazing. From
have
two
either of those women run off
amazing
Oscars?
Women. I want to say Helena Bonham Carter. I think she got some recognition for Fight Club.
She was good in Fight Club.
I thought she did. I could be wrong, but I thought she got something for that.
Anyway. So Hermione goes in and is just like, "Oh, what a lovely day!" And Borgin is like, "No." And she's like, "Oh, this is a very pretty thing. How much is it?" And he's like, "It's 1,600 galleons." She's like, "Oh, well then, what about this necklace? Is it for sale?" And he's like, "Yeah." She's like, "How much?" And I don't remember what he says. It's like 12 galleons. She says, "So it's not on hold for someone?" And Borgin's like, "Huh?" And Ron and Harry are outside staring at each other like, why did we let Hermione
like,
go in
there? Like, clearly shake my
she
head, like, face palm. What's going on?
And so basically, Borgin kind of, like, throws her out because he can tell she's acting suspiciously. But she's like, hey,
she says...
Oh, that's right.
She says, well, that boy that was just in here, I am really good friends with him, and his birthday is coming up, and I want to get him something.
Right.
So if he's put anything on reserve,
right,
like, let me know so I can buy it. And Borgin's like, whatever. Like,
get out of my shop. Wait, so let's say that's true. Let's say Malfoy's birthday is coming up. That would make him a Leo, and I feel like I have known some Leos, and the sort of... There's no good way for me to finish that sentence.
Nope. And you're gonna offend a 12th?
Yep.
Of our listeners.
Good. Leos are great.
Leos are...
Malfoy is the total exception. Woo! Leo's forever!
What are you?
Taurus.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Bullheaded, stubborn.
My best friend in high school is a Taurus. Yeah.
That's me. Very loyal, though. What are you?
Aries.
Hey, Aries and Tauruses get along really well.
Oh.
My mom is an Aries.
I don't really know what Aries means, though.
You're a Ram.
And well, I know that much, but...
That's pretty much all I know.
Yeah, like, I don't know personality.
I mean, and you really can't put stock in it.
I know,
because, really, if you want to actually put stock in a zodiac, you have to do, like, a star chart and figure out what your planet ascendancy is.
And then you
like,
might as well just go to Fire Ends.
Right, exactly. Speaking of, let's go to Hogwarts. So, basically, Hermione comes out, and Ron and Harry are like, what is wrong with you? And she's like, I tried, and we figured out that it's, like, not the necklace. And they were like, yeah, that's like, really helpful, thanks. Okay. There's only 500 other weird things in that shop. Way to narrow it down.
Thanks a lot, Hermione.
Thanks, Hermione.
Let's just go. Which and is so, a line from, which is very popular yeah, very, in the musicals.
I assume so.
Thanks, Hermione.
And so...
So then, oh, then they go back to the joke shop and everyone's freaking out because they're missing.
Right.
They're like, and no, they're like, we were just in the back room. You just didn't see us.
You didn't look hard enough.
Yeah, and they're like, okay. Yeah, then they go to Hogwarts, I think.
Yeah, then they go to Hogwarts. So they get on the train. Yep.
Harry is freaking out because he thinks Draco's a freaking Death Eater now.
Harry comes up with a theory.
Harry's like, hey, clearly...
I got a theory that he's a Death Eater. tiny portion. That was a reference to the musical episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh!
They used to do, actually, group sing-alongs of that at a theater in Uptown.
That is adorable.
It was
Please
great.
Tell me you went and dressed up.
Maybe a little.
Oh my god, that makes me so happy! Okay.
Once.
Now that we know Emmy's a total
it's just
dork.
It's a really painful... The thing is that, like, it's a musical episode that takes place in the middle of, like, one of the most painful seasons... So it's really hard to, like, get into it, because half of the songs are, like, Buffy singing about how, like, hi, I was in heaven, and then y'all decided that because apparently I was dead, that you needed to resurrect me, and so now I'm back in this world, and I have to fight demons instead of resting peacefully in heaven. Thanks.
Yeah.
This is why I have depression. And they're all like, oh. And they do this in song, and I'm just like, I can't even with you all right now. I just can't.
I really like musical episodes, please.
It's a really excellent musical episode. But the problem is, if you don't, like, you can't just watch it on its own. You have to know all
right.
the backstory or it doesn't work. Anyway.
Okay, so Harry has come up with the, so he's like, obviously he's doing something for Voldemort.
Right.
That's why he's in that shop.
Right.
And the reason that he yanked his arm back when they were fitting him for robes is because he has the Dark Mark brandished on him.
Right.
And Ron and Hermione are like, are you freaking kidding
me?
Yeah,
this is insane, Harry.
But they're like, dude, like, we don't like Draco as much as the next guy, but
right.
you're insane. Like,
he's 16.
What is Voldemort going to do with an underage wizard?
Right.
Like, what is wrong with you? And
why
Harry's
would you
like,
want him?
Right. And Harry's like, yeah.
For reasons.
For reasons. For facts. And they're like, okay, whatever. And so Harry's, so then they go to or they're like on the platform and stuff. And
yeah.
Harry's like, I gotta tell someone. So
right.
he pulls Arthur aside, and he's like, hey, I think Draco Malfoy's a Death Eater. And Arthur's like, okay. Why would Voldemort want a 16-year-old? And Harry's like, well, he was in the shop and, like, talking about something,
mm-hmm.
and I think there's something at Draco's house.
Right.
And Arthur's like, we raided the Malfoy residence and took away everything that had dark magic. Like, I don't think that there's any, like, he can't have anything. And Harry's
right.
like, I think he still does.
Yeah.
And Arthur's like, okay.
Okay, kid. Get on the train.
Okay,
go to
buddy.
School.
And then basically he gets on the train and goes to school.
Yeah. Well, sort of.
Well, right. There's lots that happens on the train.
I say we cover what happens on the train and then we leave on a cliffhanger when the train starts to move.
Oh, okay.
I think that would be a good place to wrap up.
That's true. Well, I was going to say, but my hating Snape thing happens shortly after that, so I'm wondering if we need to get to that in this one, or if it should be a cliffhanger.
Did you just remember it?
He is such
yeah.
a jerk.
Yeah.
He's
white hot rage, like, ran through my veins. And so I feel like we need to get to that point.
Okay.
Because
okay.
we've talked a lot about it.
Speed through.
Let's do this.
Okay.
So Harry's on the train.
Harry's on the train. Ron and Hermione are in the prefect compartment.
Right.
Harry's like, I don't know where to go. Kind of wants to go with Ginny. Ginny says, I'm going to go find Dean. Harry's like, okay, I'm going to go sit with Neville and Luna.
It's cute because Harry's like, oh, I forget, like, internal monologue. I forget that Harry, or he forgets that Ginny doesn't usually hang out with them when she's at school. Like, she's got her own friends.
Yeah, because he's spent, like, the whole summer with.
Yeah, with her.
Yeah. Then. So then they're hanging on the train. Everything's kind of cool. Ron. No, not Ron. Mm-hmm. Neville and Harry get, also, all the girls are staring at Harry like there's no tomorrow.
All the time.
Like, everyone's into Harry now.
All the time.
And they're like, why are you hanging out with Neville and Luna? And he's like, well, they're my friends. And
yeah,
like
some fifth years come to his compartment and are like, you can come sit with us.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I like Neville and Luna. And Neville and Luna are like, they expect you to be hanging out with cool. Luna says, because she says awkward things. They expect
awkward
you to be hanging out
things.
With people who are more cool. And Harry's like, meh. And then says something like, you are cool. You were with me at the ministry.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay.
Okay.
Thanks, Harry.
So all these girls are super into Harry, except for one Miss Cho Chang and
her
friend Marietta, who
not...
are, like, avoiding him at all costs. So Harry's hanging out with them.
Right.
And then someone brings invitations to Neville and Harry to join Professor Slughorn in his...
private compartment.
Private compartment for
mm-hmm.
lunch. And
mm-hmm.
so they go there.
There's no mention of Luna's reaction to this, and I think it's probably because Luna's just like, okay.
No, yeah. And Harry's like, hey, let's go under the invisibility cloak and, like, see what Malfoy's up to. And Neville's like, okay, I guess. And then it just ends up being way too difficult
to
maneuver. Right,
it's too crowded in the corridor, so they can't get down there.
And Ron and Hermione tell Harry, like, hey, Draco is not in the prefect compartment, which is odd because he would like to, like, normally...
He likes bullying.
He likes bullying the first years, and Harry's like, that is weird, he must be up to something.
He must be being a Death Eater somewhere!
Right. And Ron and Hermione are like, whatever.
Why do we ever tell him anything?
Right. So then they go to Slughorn's compartment,
right.
It's them two, Cormac McLagan, who's another Gryffindor
Blaise
in their
Zabini.
Year, Blaise Zabini,
who's
a Slytherin in their year, Ginny Weasley.
Yay! And then
and some other people.
A couple other people.
Yeah,
who don't end up, like, being in the final club.
Yeah. Yeah, there's, like, someone who... Yeah, it doesn't
someone
matter.
Who's related to another person.
Yeah. So, like...
I think that's it, though. It's just the one other guy who's related to that one guy.
I thought there was two other people that were... Nope, it's just that guy.
Yeah.
Because there's the guy that's related and they don't really talk. And then there's Cormac who's
exactly.
related and
who's,
they talk
who,
all
like,
the time.
Figures out how to work this.
Right, so...
So, I think we have failed to mention so far. Professor Slughorn... Slytherin House.
Oh, yeah. He was ahead of Slytherin House before Snapecles,
right.
I believe.
Snapecles?
Snapecles.
Nicknames for Snape. From now on, Snapecles.
Snapecles.
So
I don't know where that came from.
They come
it's
in and,
like...
That's fine. I think we work with it. They come in, they have lunch. Ginny, like... So when they get there, Slughorn's like, Harry, my boy, so glad to see you. Like, and you know, he introduces everybody around the room and says, and this young lady says she knows you. And you... Like, Ginny peeks out from behind Slughorn's large belly.
Yeah.
Like, you can't see her. So, basically, Harry figures out that everybody's been invited there because of whatever connections. Like, he's invited there because he's Harry.
Right.
Neville gets invited there because of his parents. Which is, like... And because Slughorn basically works the room and asks everybody in turn, like, oh, how are things with your uncle? And the kid whose name we can't remember is basically like, oh, I don't... The uncle's, like, some sort of important...
The uncle created the Wolf's Bane potion.
Right. And they're like, hey, do you ever... And Slughorn's like, well, what, you know, do you see your uncle often? And he's like, actually, he and my dad had a falling out, so no. And Slughorn's like, uh-huh. And moving on.
Yeah.
Blaise Zabini, who is the son of a wizard, or a witch model, I believe, is just, like, strikingly handsome.
Yeah, he's just super handsome. And the model has been, like, married, like, seven times
yeah,
or something.
Something
and each
like
husband
that.
Dies unexpectedly
yeah,
and
under
a lot of money.
Yeah, exactly. And
ooh.
Zabini is just, you know, pure Slytherin asshole.
Yeah.
Sorry. Money in the jar. And
he's
Cormac,
hot, but a jerk.
Yeah. Cormac McLagan is... related to somebody and, like, works it. He's
yeah.
like, oh, yes, I see so-and-so all the time. And he and Slughorn have a nice little chat.
Yep.
And then when Slughorn gets to Neville, it's kind of awkward because it's like, so you're here because of your parents who were tortured into insanity.
And Neville's like, I don't really like to talk about that.
Yep, exactly. I mean, they don't really, it doesn't describe how the conversation goes. It just says the conversation was awkward. And then,
So Harry's puzzled as to why Ginny's there, because
right.
why...
I don't think he ever gets to Ginny.
No, he does. Because he says, this young lady, right. I saw give a terrific, like, bat bogey hex
correct.
To someone.
That is Ginny's special
and
thing.
And Ginny's like, hey.
Hey, what's up? I'm awesome.
So then they hang out in that car for, like, ever.
Yeah,
and
seriously.
Then, and then, it starts getting dark, and so mm-hmm. everyone's like, you guys gotta go put on your house robes.
Right.
And so... Harry sees that Blaze will be returning to the compartment that Malfoy is in, and, I just thought of the meme, and,
the Harry Draco Malfoy?
No, the, everyone talks about how much Neville changed, but I think it was Crabbe that changed the most, and it's a meme of Crabbe and Goyle, and then it's Blaze and Goyle,
right,
but, yeah, anyway, Blaze is black, whereas Crabbe is
right.
white, and, anyway.
Very important.
So he realizes that, and he's like, "Oh, this is my opportunity.
If I tail him,
I can go into the compartment." And this Harry Potter is an idiot sometimes. So okay, so Neville goes back. Harry puts on his invisibility cloak. Blaze is almost through the door, like he's like shutting the door to the compartment, and Harry sticks his foot so that the door doesn't close.
Yeah.
And it hits his foot instead, and then Blaze is like, oh, this door is lame. And then Harry just, like, throws the door open
right.
and, like, walks in. Granted, he's under the invisibility cloak,
right.
but, like, really
runs into the
up.
Room, climbs into the luggage rack, and hides
yeah.
up there.
And he's like, oh, I think Malfoy may have seen me, but no.
I think, you know, my sneakers might have shown underneath the robe,
but
Malfoy's
yeah.
attention turns away. So he's now in the Slytherin... 60 years compartment. Pansy Parkinson is, like, playing with Malfoy's hair. Quick fact check. Does she end up marrying Malfoy? Because I'm pretty sure no.
No.
Okay.
But Malfoy's laying on her lap.
That's
she's,
right.
like, playing
she's playing
with
his
hair.
Tenderly.
And Harry's Whoa. Like, she's acting like anyone would want to be there, like, where she is right now. Like, she's so lucky.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
blech. And so, they're like, okay, so what happened at the slug meeting? And Malfoy's clearly annoyed that he wasn't invited.
Yeah.
And... Blaze Beanie's just like, ugh, well, I'm the best, and everyone else is the worst. And he recounts who was there, and is just like, I don't know why they invited that Weasley girl. And someone says, I think Pansy actually says, Blaze, you've even said she's caught your eye.
Yeah, like...
Which tells you something about how attractive Ginny Weasley must be.
Yes.
Like, I think they undersell her in the movie. She's certainly cute, but, like...
But she's, like,
that's
really
hot.
Attractive.
That's hot.
Yeah. And Blaze is like, shut up.
Yeah, shut up. No,
whatever.
Whatever.
And then Draco starts waxing and waning about why he wasn't there and whatever. And
yeah.
then he says, like, well, it's not like I'll have, or it's not like it's going to matter for much longer anyway. And they're
yeah.
like, what's up? And he's like, well, let's just say I think I'm going to have better things to do next year.
Right.
And Harry's like, you're a freaking Death Eater in his head.
Right.
And then it starts getting close to Hogwarts and Goyle? Or Crabbe.
So.
I think it's Goyle. Grabs his luggage, and Harry's on top of it,
right.
and it hits Harry, and he, like, yelps out in pain, because Harry's so dumb sometimes. And so...
None of them are that good at spying.
No. No one is a good spy.
No.
And so, and Malfoy clearly hears him. So,
yeah.
then they get to Hogwarts, everyone leaves the compartment, Malfoy's like, wait, I'm gonna hang back for a little bit. And Harry's like, ooh, I wonder what Malfoy's going to do, like, take something out of his trunk.
Right,
and, like,
Malfoy turns
on?
To open his trunk, and then Harry's like, what's he getting?
He's probably getting the secret weapon that he was having at Borgin's. And
right,
da-da-da-da.
He's probably gonna reveal that he's a Death Eater.
Right, and then Draco takes out his wand and is like, Patronus Vitalis!
Yeah.
And attacks Harry, and then, like, pulls up, and Harry awkwardly falls off the luggage rack, because everything, muscle in his body is now
solid.
Like, solid.
Yeah.
And Draco takes off the invisibility cloak, and he's like, hi.
I saw you there.
I saw you. Way to spy on me. I didn't say anything that I wouldn't have said in front of you anyway,
yeah.
so.
Good job.
So, good job. I'm gonna break your nose
Yeah,
now.
He stomps on his face and breaks his nose.
And then puts the invisibility cloak back over him and says, enjoy your trip back to London, because I don't think anyone's going to come looking for you.
Right.
And then leaves the compartment. And Harry is sitting there, frozen, with blood pouring into his mouth from his
yeah.
nose, and is like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
No one's going to notice I'm gone before the train leaves, so...
Right. And he's trying to, like... He knows that some wizards can cast spells without speaking, and he's trying to, like, summon his wand, but of
yep.
course you can't cast a spell without speaking and without your wand. Like, you need... Supposedly.
That right. is the thing.
Yeah. So anyway. He's struggling, and he starts to feel the train
moving. Yeah.
Moving. Are we leaving it there, or are we?
No, let's finish it.
Okay,
let's do the to where you wanted to go.
Okay, so he feels it start to move, and then the compartment door opens, and it's Tonks,
still with mousy brown hair,
looking haggard and tired. And she takes out the invisibility cloak, and she's like, hi, Harry, and, like, gets him out of the body bind. I don't remember how. And then she's
really
like, yeah. And then she's like, well, we better hurry, and, like, jumps off. They have to jump off the train onto the platform. And Harry, like, awkwardly stumbles and then feels embarrassed.
I think she fixes his nose as well.
And then she says, I'll fix your nose. And then for a split second, he's like, I would. Like, he's like, internal
like Madame Pomfrey.
I should probably
just
go to Madame Pomfrey. And then Tonks is like, a pisky! And it goes, and it's like, fine.
Fixes.
In the movie, this is all done by Luna Lovegood, and it makes me very angry.
It's very upsetting.
Because it's Tonks, bitches.
Right. It's sweet that they have Luna do it, because, like, it gives her a role, but it's Tonks.
It's Tonks.
It's Tonks.
Because Tonks is awesome.
Tonks is the best.
Also, Tonks was stationed at Hogwarts.
That's right.
So, kind of makes sense.
Makes sense.
So then she's like, well, we better get going, and they have to walk to Hogwarts from the Hogsmeade station,
which is actually a really long walk.
She
casts a spell, and something silvery shoots out of her wand up towards the castle, like she sends a message.
Yep, with her Patronus.
Right.
You know, it's her Patronus that she sends, and Harry says it's something hairy.
Yeah.
With four legs.
Right.
But that's all he can tell.
Yep.
So he goes to the castle, and they get to the front gate, and there is a lock on it, and Harry's like, I got this, and says, Alohomora, and Tonks is like, yeah, that's not gonna work.
No, it doesn't work.
There's extra security and stuff, so yeah.
Yeah. Why would you even put a lock on it if, like, first years can figure out how to say Alohomora?
Right. So then Harry's like, oh, I guess I'll just sleep out here. Tonks is like, I sent a message. Like, someone's gonna come
Dumbledore's gonna come get you. I think she said Dumbledore's gonna come get you. Or maybe Hagrid.
Well, she means it for Hagrid.
Okay.
So they see a light coming out, like a lantern bobbling down, and Harry's like, oh,
Hagrid.
Yay. And then it gets closer, and it's Severus frickin' Snape. And Tonks is like, I meant that for
Hagrid.
And Snape is like, well, I got it, and I'll bring Harry in.
Yeah.
And then,
in
the worst thing, I can't remember the exact phrase, but he says, oh, by the way, Tonks, I noticed your Patronus changed. Changed its shape, and it looks a lot weaker now.
Yes.
And I think you were much better off before. Which is just... So
the thing is, and we missed this in the movie, and we're just going to spoil it for you now.
Yeah, because you have to know why we're so angry.
Tonks is in love with Lupin.
Yep.
The werewolf.
Yep.
Who has refused to be with her because he's a werewolf, and he's like, I can't give you a good life, I can't give you a good family, like, this is not... I won't be with you. This is why she's massively depressed.
Yeah, like, he's like, if we get married, like, I don't know what kind of kids we would have,
because
I don't know how a werewolf will procreate.
Right, most of them don't.
So, that's gonna be really awkward, and like, he's like, I'm a freaking werewolf, like, once a month, this is gonna suck for you.
Right.
And I don't want you to have to go through that. And she's like, but I love you.
Yeah. And that's why she's mousy all the time and depressed and sad and doesn't want to be around the house when Lupin is around.
Yes.
And
I think it's because she's blaming herself for Sirius's death, but that's not
true.
But
then that's... So Harry wrongly interprets her Patronus' change as to Sirius's form.
Yep.
But it's actually a werewolf form.
Yeah.
Because she's in love with Lupin.
Yeah.
Because apparently Patronus takes the shape of the person that you're in love with.
Well, so, I did a lot of research on this on Pottermore, because I was like, I got really curious about Patronuses.
Fair
Patroni.
Enough.
I don't know the plural
Fact,
of Patronus.
We do not know what Malfoy's Patronus would be.
Oh.
J.K. Rowling answered that question, because everybody's like, oh, it'd be a ferret, because that's what he got turned into. And it's like, why would his happy memory get...
Yeah, and actually, bad wizards can't make them.
Right.
Yeah.
That's basically what she said is
dark
just like
wizards
they don't have the capability.
Can't make it. And then she has some loophole for why Umbridge can.
But anyway, because, like, she's happy in her
position. Right, she's happy, yeah, in that position.
A Patronus is something that's, like, really significant to you. Oh. Like, not necessarily love, but it's something that, it's a very much a part of your identity. And right. So for it to change is a huge thing. Mm. Like it's never really, like, it's happened, like, twice, I think. And Tonks is, like, the second one. Like, it never happens. And so, like, so for it to change from something that was a part of her identity into this other thing is clearly, like...
Do we know what Tonks' shape was before?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I think it said, like, on the website.
I want to say a goose.
It could have been. Well, no. There is a goose.
Yeah, maybe someone in the army is a goose.
Yeah. So for it to change is a huge deal, which Snape must freaking know.
Right.
And then for him to, like, get the werewolf and be like, oh, and then to throw it in her face, and then to say that it looks weaker than her old one.
Yeah.
Not cool. Not cool.
I'm sorry. Of all the things Snape's ever done, that's the not cool. He's, like, abused Harry verbally since the day he comes out. And this is the one that tips you over the edge.
Well, here's the dealio, though. I think I just got, like,
Can we discuss the fact that Snape is a double agent? He is actually a Death Eater.
Yeah, that is pretty awful.
But I think, in the book.
I think what gets me is that the fact that, like, okay, so Snape is a jerk to Harry. I know that. Like, right. And so you get almost kind of numb to it. Like, he's not an Umbridge, but just kind of he's a jerk. He's awful. But he's not doing physical harm.
I guess.
But, like, that comment is just just searing straight to where she's exactly vulnerable, and she's in such a vulnerable state. Like, she's already, like, Harry's doing okay when he, like, jabs at him. Tonks is not doing well at all, and he sears right to why she isn't doing well and pokes the bear. Like, no.
Well, I mean, we know why, because Snape has been deprived of his great love and just hates everything because of it. Just as a note, that is the wrong way to react to being deprived of your great love.
Yeah.
You buy some ice cream, you buy some wine, you marathon some Netflix, you move the hell on.
Right.
Yeah. That's my feeling.
Yeah.
I think we should end on that.
Okay. I feel like we should end on a happier note.
Okay, then Harry gets to the castle, and it's feasting time, and everybody gets food. Yay!
We'll cover that again next time, but,
what happens at the castle? Oh, everything.
Everything happens at the castle.
This book never stops. It just keeps right on barreling down the...
Yeah. We also need to remember our teacher thing. So, yeah. So Snape's a jerk.
Snape's a jerk.
And Tonks is awesome and doesn't deserve his hate.
Nope. Or anything that happens to her in book 7. Oh, no. Whatever happens to her at the end of book 7. She doesn't deserve that.
No.
But I guess that's the point of death. So you don't deserve it. Right.
Anyway.
Moving on.
So, Robert.
Faithful listeners.
Faithful listeners, have a good whatever.
I don't know where we've ended with the score. I think you were ahead.
I think.
But, like, maybe by a point.
Yeah, it was close.
It was, yeah, exactly.
It was a close race.
It would all come down to who caught the snitch.
It would.
As so, it does in most games.
Yeah. I wonder if they have snitch cat toys.
I bet they do.
Okay, here's my train of thought.
They probably have them on Etsy.
Probably. So Maggie had, I was gonna say, because Maggie could be my, Seeker.
Yep.
Although she's not looking too seekish right now. But she has a little gold ball that she loves chasing around. Oh, like, it's like the red one that she was holding that's gold. She could totally play with a snitch and it would be amazing.
That'd be awesome. Just put some wings on it.
Right? This is a weird topic.
Nope, that's perfect.
Alright, so we will see you next week for part 2, or some point.
Yep.
Part 2 of Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince.
Yep.
Thank you for listening.
Bye.
Bye.